and gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Good morning and welcome to the Stephanie Miller Show. Stephanie Miller and the Mooks are on a much-deserved vacation this week, so we'll be filling in for them. We are Frangela, that means myself, Angela V. Shelton.
And our best friend, Frances Callier.
And we just took our names and smushed them into one, so you only have to learn one.
And that's Frangela.
F-R-A-N-G-E-L-A.
Good morning. It's 6 minutes past the hour.
On this Monday, March 23rd, We're now 2 to 3 days into spring, right?
Woohoo!
Around the nation, I know that there's some flooding in North Dakota, I believe.
Yes, it is, and people are
sandbagging
and so doing a bunch of stuff. Our thoughts and hearts are with you.
That's awful.
Yeah.
And actually, right now, as we speak, there is a pen and paper discussion going on between U.S. Treasury Secretary Timothy Geithner
and the press. He is filling us all in terms of his pen and paper interview, as it's being called.
Okay, we're saying that because we don't really understand
what that is. But it's for his plan for the bad bank assets.
Yeah, buying up all the so-called toxic assets. The U.S. Treasury is releasing this morning details of its plan to buy at least $500 billion in bad or toxic or not-so-nifty bank assets.
Yes, it's going to be a public-private partnership, which we were like,
Okay, I also want to make sure we give you the number right away.
Yeah.
It's 1-800-STEPH-1-2.
You call it right now because you're going to want to weigh in.
1-800-783-7412. 1-800-STEPH-1-2. Number of issues here. Number one, this press conference is not being called a press conference. I was told it was a press conference over the weekend. Am I wrong, Frances?
No, you were told it was going to be a press conference.
Now we're rehearing, we were just watching the news, that it's a pen and paper discussion.
Isn't that an article?
I don't know what. That, to me, sounds like something you do at a restaurant on your napkin.
Yes.
Like, you're like, okay, so this is what I'm going to do. These are the toxic assets.
Can everybody see this?
Can everybody see in the back row? Get, or on one of those overhead projectors, the old-timey ones? Okay. See this bad? No. We're going to use tax dollars to buy up the good, to buy up the bad.
Yes.
Or to partner with private investors.
Oh, you know what that reminded me of just now? Hmm. We're gonna use taxpayer money to sop up.
Sop is a good word.
Sop is a good word, isn't it? To sop up and soak up what is toxic in the credit market.
It's kind of like a Tums, you know, or a Pepto.
A little Pepto.
It's an antacid sponge, if you will.
Yes.
And that's happening right now as we speak.
Yes.
But it sounds like basically the plan is to go forward and to try to create a situation that would encourage private investors to team up with the government. So the government would be matching funds with these quote-unquote private investors to buy up these toxic assets to therefore – this is the thing that since the very beginning, since, you know, Bush was in office in the beginning of the whole TARP and the bailout plans, all of this is about generating consumer credit.
Yes.
All this is about opening up the credit markets.
That's right.
So they keep – and it really, over and over again, what you'll read is encouraging banks – encouraging the financial sector, encouraging banks.
Yes, because you know why, Angela?
Why, Frances?
Our economy is being held hostage. Think of it like the Lindbergh baby. Think of it like a baby that has been taken and is being held hostage. And what they're saying is that if you want your baby, the economy back, you're going to pay. You're going to pay. Because this, I'm going to tell you something.
I have a problem with that.
This is criminal, Angela.
I have a problem with that, Frances.
But
I don't think it's right.
I don't either. But apparently, Geithner's coming out with this three-pronged approach, okay, which involves, number one, low-interest loans to private investors to buy a bank bad assets, which means that we're going to give rich people money and incentives to take on this risk. Okay.
Right.
The American people are going to do that. Number two, to a public-private fund run by fund managers to invest in troubled mortgages with, quote-unquote, with government capital matching private capital contributions. It scares me when you use capital twice in the same sentence like that.
And public and private like that.
And public and
it's
private.
It's a very interesting mix of terms.
And then number three, the Federal Reserve will enlarge the $1 trillion TALF. I'm going to tell you, you heard TARP before, but now we got
It's all about the TALF now.
Now we got the TALF, which is Term Asset-Backed Securities Loan Facility, which I think there's more letters in there than T-A-L-F. Just, you know, I just, you know, well, I'm putting your acronyms together.
It's T-A-S-L-F.
Okay.
TASLF.
But that didn't sound
good. It doesn't sound as good as
TALF. It sounded like, that sounded like something you're going to get on off the shelves at IKEA.
It really does. It's exactly what it sounds like. A financial program. You need that little Allen wrench, though.
Yeah, you do.
But if you follow the pictures, yes. Which I guess is what maybe Geithner's doing right now. He's drawing little pictures.
Let me tell you something. Nothing I've ever put together with an Allen wrench has come out right.
No, but they can't.
Just every time, it's a little the left, it's a little to the right. I've cracked the wood.
Yeah.
And if we're doing that to the economy with an Allen wrench
basically,
for something called the TALF.
Basically. I mean, I'm not from MIT or the London School of Economics, but I think that is an accurate description.
Help me.
Of the situation.
I'm so scared.
We keep reminding you that Miss Miller and Mama's on vacation, so we're here, Francis and Angela, or Frangela.
Yes.
And we're talking about Timothy Geithner speaking right now in a sort of, not closed session, but pen and paper session.
Yeah, it's called the Bank Detox Plan. I'm looking at the news right here. The government will put up to $100 billion into it and create this public-private partnership, mm-hmm. and government is to finance up to 50% right. of this program.
We want to know what you think about that.
Yeah.
What do you think about, because you understand where the government's money comes from is you.
Mm-hmm.
That's tax money.
Yeah.
And that money would therefore be being, rather than, because the alternative, or one of the alternatives that we've talked about for months now is basically just taking over the banks.
Right. Remember that whole conversation about nationalizing the banks? And
yeah.
I know that sounded scary to people, but the reality is that we as Americans have to understand that we're going to have to put more money into this situation, and I think we do have bailout fatigue. I do believe that we don't trust anyone anymore, and it's not that we don't have confidence in Obama, and it's that we do believe that we hired the right person to do this job, but in terms of everyone under him, mm-hmm. in terms of the Senate and the House and the people who represent us, these people have got to get up off of their duffs
mm-hmm.
and decide to work together on our behalf. Because if they do not, we are in trouble.
Well, here's my problem. And this is I'm going to put it as simplistically as I can, Francis. Maybe
okay.
you and Stephanie Miller listeners can call us at 1-800-STEPH-12 and let us know what you think we're missing or what you'd like to say about this. What I don't understand is you deregulate the banks,
mm-hmm.
right, and this started years ago.
Mm-hmm.
You allow them to start engaging in practices that are considered by most economists to be bad ideas, subprime loans.
Absolutely.
Being one part of it. You get rid of usury laws,
mm-hmm.
which allows for the payday loan scams and for people to get – for ridiculous rates of interest. These laws, by the way, usury, I was reading about them over the weekend. There have been usury laws on the books since Babylonia.
Yeah.
Okay.
Because what we have decided in good society is that this is not okay to do to people.
Right, that you cannot tax people 100%.
That's right.
You know, that's not fair. So, but we got rid of those laws, right? And then you see this sort of birth of the payday loan
mm-hmm.
and the get your money quicker and all of that. So people,
right.
all that happens and opening up of credit cards and to giving them to anybody and everyone.
Well, you know what? I have to really break in really quickly. This in the hood was called a juice loan, Angela.
Yes.
And
yes.
When we decided as a society, as a government, that it was okay for real institutions to start giving juice loans, Angela.
Yeah. Yeah.
Things that we would crack down in the 70s.
Well, that's what people started. They turned their mortgages. They turned refinancing into a juice loan.
Yes.
That people started to live off of their refi because their houses were completely overvalued. So that all goes on. So then the answer that we're hearing, and I'm not hearing a lot of alternatives, to be honest,
mm-hmm.
is to keep putting money into these people who made these bad decisions in the first place.
That's right.
And I am not an economist. Angela V. Shelton is not an economist. But this is when I'm playing a game of poker. There comes a point where I say, I need to get out of this game.
Yeah.
And I know you want to chase that straight. You want to chase that pot.
You know, girl,
you're
I chase
in
the
for
straight
one.
Every time. You know me.
I know.
I chase the straight.
She can't bluff at all.
I,
but it's like, you do have to say to yourself at some point, this is a pot I can't get in.
That's right.
I'm going to have to kiss my auntie goodbye.
That's right.
You know, that's
I can't
just,
stay in here. I saw the flop. I don't know if I'm going to see the river in the
That's right. Maybe I had to give the big blind. That's the way it works.
Yes.
That's the way it works. All right, but I got to get out. My question to you, Stephanie Miller listeners, Angela, and that's myself and Francis, we want to know, does it make sense to use our money to allow other wealthy people to buy up so-called toxic assets in the hopes that they will then reinvigorate the market, that they will become viable assets somehow, you know, eventually, and that those people will then make a profit off of it, that somehow will help all of us. And I understand that the concepts that work here,
yes.
But my question is, shouldn't we just get the money? Like, why do we need the private investor?
Yeah, well, because I'm going to tell you why, Angela. I'm going to tell you exactly why nobody wants to say this to you. I'm sorry to have to put it to you this way. You are a little person.
What?
Okay? You do not matter.
What?
You don't matter. That's basically what we're being told here, is that this country is about protecting wealth, and that the only people who can really play in this financial game are wealthy people who have the money to lose or win or lose, and that it doesn't knock them out so badly when their 401k plans go down the drain.
Right.
Because this is the thing. The reality is that what we have all learned, the people who are in the middle and who are at the bottom, is that we really don't have the money to be in this game called the financial market.
Well, it's interesting. You know, tomorrow, Geithner will be testifying Tuesday in front of Representative Barney Frank's Financial Services Committee, which is holding a hearing on the oversight of the AIG bailout, which you may have heard it, if not, we're going well. There's some issues. They got some post-its on it.
Yeah.
And we want to talk about that also, about the AIG people protesting. It's not funny, and
outside
it is.
Outside the AIG executive houses. You know what, girl?
I don't want anything bad to happen to anybody. Let me start by saying that.
But, girl, if I had the money to get on a Greyhound right now, I would be joining people in Connecticut. And God is my witness. I really would. And handing out crullers and hot cocoa.
Churros. People love the churros.
The churros. That's why I wanted to say churros.
But I look at that situation, and, you know, I feel bad. There's this one polling, Mr. Polling, I forget his first name, but I guess a whole bunch of people found out that he's one of these AIG executives, and he gave back the money,
right?
I think, and he also donated.
I think he was throwing it out his window.
Yeah, he's been donating money to charities, and so it's like, he's like, but these people are like camped out in front of his house, and it's like nobody's done anything except be there. But, and I understand what the people are saying, the protesters are saying, is that I want to put a human face to the choices
That's
you made.
That's right.
I want you to understand, but this is how, talk about, that is how populist rebellions start. So it's another thing we want to talk about
is the populist rage.
Populist rage or consumer confidence. We're using them as synonyms now.
Yes, yes, yes. But the phone lines here are lit up. We're trying to give your chance to call in. The number here is 1-800-STEPH-12. Right quick, let's talk to Frank in Detroit. Frank, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show with Frangela.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Well, you know, I've got the feeling that Geithner just needs to go, because he was a Bush appointee before all this began, and then Obama tapped him for supposedly having, you know, inside knowledge. But I think he's too much. Him and Larry Summers are just way too much of insiders. So let's just cut to the chase and get Paul Krugman in there. I mean, I think he won a Nobel Peace Prize for economics, and we need some. They need to let a few of the banks go under.
Mm-hmm.
They need to
show them that we mean business.
Because, look, this situation is missing one element, and that is we need some of them need to sacrifice their existence. There needs to be blood on the altar, because the Americans are mad, and we're not going to give up no $1 trillion without somebody dying.
Thank you, Frank.
Okay, Frank. Frank is totally.
Frank, there needs to be blood on the altar, y'all.
Oh, that is so. What's the movie, the Mel Gibson, when they run it? Run through the jungle is what we call it.
Apocalypto.
That was so apocalypto. Heads just rolling down. Remember, it's the scariest scene in the world. Heads rolling down the pyramid.
But I'm going to tell you something.
Oh, Frank, you're amazing.
The American people are pitchforking. And
new adjective.
It is. And we coined it first before Colbert or anybody. People are pitchforking out there, y'all. And the number here is 1-800-STEPH-12. We'll be back.
To talk about that.
And so much more. Mama and the Mooks are on vacation. This is Frangela filling in on the Stephanie Miller Show.
We're an unusual family.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Good morning and welcome back to the Stephanie Miller Show. Mama and the Mooks are on a much-deserved vacation all this week, so we are honored to be filling in for them. We are Frangela, that means myself, Angela V. Shelton.
And our very best friend, Frances Sexy Pants Callia.
That's right. She is sexy, wearing sexy pants.
I am.
Very. It's 25 minutes past the hour.
The number here is 1-800-STEPH-1-2. We are talking about Timothy Geithner's bad toxic plan to get rid of the bad toxic stuff off the bank.
Using toxic and bad a lot.
Toxic assets plan. Which it really isn't even talc.
It's tassel. If you did it again. You know what? We've said this before. My first biggest critique of the Obama administration is the naming thing.
Yes.
They just aren't naming things very well.
No.
So we have to work on that.
No.
Whoever's in that office needs to work on that. But that plan is being unveiled.
Right now as we speak.
As we're speaking. But we were talking about what you think about the concept of using taxpayer dollars to match money with so-called private investors to buy up so-called toxic assets.
Yes.
As another way to try to convince the banks to release their stranglehold on credit.
Right, which I have likened to the economy is our baby and
like
we want it back.
The Lindbergh baby. The Lindbergh baby. And then we just had a call from Frank in Detroit who very eloquently expressed his viewpoint that No, we must let some of these banks fail, and there needs to be blood on the altar.
Yes.
Before we sacrifice any... I think as he said, we're not giving no $1 trillion till we know what's going on.
He said some blood in the streets. Oh, Frank, you know what?
I think a lot of people agree.
Let's talk to Tim in Buffalo. Tim, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show with Frangela.
Hello. What we need is a financial super fund, like the EPA.
Mm-hmm.
When their mess gets cleaned up, that's funded with corporate dollars. The polluters pay for it.
That's right. I was thinking about that, too, Tim. I thought the same way. You know, and it takes a long time. When we have something like the Exxon Valdez
spill. Or the Three Mile Island or anything like that.
Yes.
But what you need is some mechanism to fund it, you know, because all these companies are out of all the bad banks are out of business. They don't have anything to take.
Yes. Thank you so much, Tim.
Well, I believe that would be their taxes.
Yeah.
Well, you know, like that Superfund should have been, these corporations should be paying taxes, but they don't.
No, they don't.
A lot of them. Have gotten away with huge tax, particularly in the manufacturing sector, while manufacturing has moved out of this country, so that the industry of this country, I was reading an article this weekend, the industry of this country is now finance, and how many jobs are actually connected to the financial system, rather the jobs that used to be connected to things like making cars.
Yes, we don't make anything anymore in this country. You can't, but the thing is that that's why we're in a worldwide economic decline right now. It's because, you know, Saab, I was just reading, is going out of business and they're going to let them fail. But, you know, we're going to talk about that when we get back. Our number here is 1-800.
Please stay on the line. The board is full. Stay on the line.
Yes. The number here is 1-800-STEPH-1-2. And we are Frangela. And this is the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
Usually one must go to a bowling alley to meet a woman of your stature.
Good morning and welcome back to the Stephanie Miller Show. Stephanie Miller and the Mooks are on vacation this week, so we are very happy to be filling in for them. We are Frangela, that means myself, Angela V. Shelton.
And our very BFF, Frances Callier.
We like to think of ourselves as America's BFFs.
Yes, we are.
Your best friends forever.
That's right.
Your besties.
We're your best friends and we're your backup too.
Backup and your backup.
That's right.
Whatever you need. It's 33 minutes past the hour on this Monday, March 23rd.
You can email us at Frangela.com.
You can also become our friend on MySpace.
Yes, at Frangela Duo. And at Facebook at Frangela, the real Frangela.
The real Frangela. Or is it the other way around?
I don't know. It's the real Frangela.
Is the real Frangela on Facebook?
Yes,
right, okay.
Yes. No. That's at
it's the other way
MySpace.
Around. Yeah. The real Frangela on MySpace and Frangela Duo on Facebook.
Yes.
Or just at Frangela.com, which is Frangela.
Yes.
And we are filling in. As I said, some of you may know us from Best Week Ever on VH1 and from being on various shows.
Various shows.
Everything from NPR to Dateline,
whatever. That's right.
And we were also just recently in a movie. that I believe is still out, right?
Yeah. He's just not that into you?
He's just not that into you. We're the two ladies on the bench.
Yes, we are. The number here is 1-800-STEPH-12. We are frangry this morning.
We call it frangry when you're frangela angry. And frangela angry means that you're muttering. You find yourself muttering about whatever you're angry about, giving them bonuses. Like, I wish I could get a bonus for messing up. I don't get a bonus when I do things right. I can't get even post-it.
I can't get nothing.
When you're frangry.
Right. You know what, Angela? I was going to say, before we get to these phone calls really quickly, I'm going to put this out there. And can somebody start a Facebook page with this in mind? I want to see these senators take a pay cut. Okay, like we have had to take here in the United States, all of us cut back on hours, cut back on wages, until they can get this economic situation figured out. Because I'm going to tell you, if they had to go down, lose 65%, 85% of what they're making, they would figure out something real quick in a hurry. Real quick and in a hurry.
Well, you know, I do have to say that on the one hand, we keep hearing last week, for those of us who watch the news, et cetera, the critique last week or about a week ago was Obama's bitten off more than he can chew. He's doing too much. In fact, we reported on it last weekend. There were tons of op-eds and articles about this administration's doing too much too quickly. It's too much. They're doing too much too quickly. This week, not doing enough.
That's right.
And not doing it quick enough.
Yes.
There's only been 7 days in between.
I don't know what to do,
but
girl.
The worm has turned.
That's right. Let's talk to Ramona in Oklahoma City. Ramona, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show with Frangela.
Hello.
Hi.
How are you guys?
Good. How are you?
Good. I was just calling because, you know, I was listening to the show, and they want to free up the credit market. Mm-hmm. But the question, I just have a question. You free it up. Why is it frozen? I work at a bank, and I've been doing loans since this whole thing started.
Okay. Right.
Okay, and so you're freeing it up. Are you freeing it up so people who aren't credit worthy can get credit again? Will we be back where we are? But my main point is that before they put any more money into this deal, they need to make sure that they know what in the heck happened.
Yeah.
So that won't happen again. There are plenty of people that they could enlist to go in. Each one of those firms that takes any bailout money should be subject to an audit.
That's right.
Thank you.
Thank you, Ramona.
Yep, and then you'll know what they're doing. You can say you can't do this, with this bailout money.
That's
Thank
right.
you very
Thank
much,
you,
Ramona.
Ramona.
I know the credit they're talking about releasing has more to do with sort of corporate credit. Well, I forget what the term is, but it's the loans the banks make to each other.
That's right.
Overnight, all that stuff.
Right.
And also, you know, there's been a major crackdown on credit in terms of people losing. We've had a number of people call in and talk about they went to use their credit card and found out that their limit had been reduced by half.
Or small businesses. Having the amounts of credit that they can get, or any amount of credit,
right,
being drawn taken away. So
and we did a story a few weeks ago about American Express trying to encourage people, giving them $300 to close out their accounts.
That's right.
To get rid of customers.
That's right.
Essentially,
to get them off their books. Let's talk to Lisa in Albuquerque. Lisa, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show with Frangela.
Hi, Frangela. How are you all?
Good.
How are you?
Good. Well, I was just calling because banks are in trouble because they mess up their loaning, and now everyone is borrowed of debt, right?
Yes.
So I was thinking, let's have the government give the banks the money in the public's name, where they regulate where the money goes within the bank.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So then it's targeted towards us.
Right. So, you know, like, let's say I have $1,000 debt and a credit card, and the bank, you know, and the government says, okay, this money is for Elisa. And then, then they pay off part of my debt, which makes my credit score go up.
Right.
And then it kind of bails out the bank, too, at the same time.
Why
couldn't they do that?
Lisa, there was actually, where was that governor? Thank you for calling, Lisa. They actually made that plan.
Mm-hmm.
We did the story two or three weeks ago. There was I look it up. I want to say it was in Colorado, mm-hmm. off the top of my head, but there was a mayor. Oh, he had an interesting name. But a mayor, something like his name was like a noun, like house or something. But he had a plan. They had a housing development program there that gives out loans. It had been very successful. He gave out close to, I think, 900 home loans,
mm-hmm.
or helped people with bad credit get to a point where they could get a home loan.
Right.
And that program then, you know, when this all the bailout money and the money going to states got announced, he made this announcement that he wanted to expand that program.
Right.
And the concept was to pay off people's bad credit so that they could be have a higher credit rating and be eligible for credit.
And be,
and
be more
there
solvent.
Was a huge outcry against it.
I
not
think
just
it was
in
Texas or someplace.
I think I'm going to look it up. I'm going to look for it now. But I think it was Colorado. But it's that there was a huge outcry.
Mm-hmm.
People were mad about it around the nation. We got when we brought it up, we did the story, we got calls from people saying that's not fair.
Right.
That you shouldn't be paying off people's bad credit. But my question is, what's the – why – for me personally, I'd rather pay off Lisa's credit than some CEO.
That's right.
It's bonus. So I'm trying to figure out, what do you think, Stephanie Miller people?
Yes, the number here is 1-800-STEPH-12. Let's talk to John in Indianapolis. John, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show with Frangela.
Ooh, I do love me some Frangela.
Hi.
Hey, I want to see people in jail.
Okay.
I want to see the loan officers that originated these loans in jail.
Mm-hmm.
I want to see underwriters that approved these loans in jail. I want the people that packaged these and sold these loans in jail. If people, if we had a face, if we're giving the money back to the people that did this in the first place.
That's
right.
Yeah.
You think they're going to do right with the money again?
I know. You know what? It's like Rihanna going back to Chris Brown. This person's already beat us. Okay?
I feel the same way, John. That's I'm asking.
Thank you, John.
And you know, it's people want they want blood in the streets, though.
They do.
But that's at least nonviolent jail.
Yeah.
I think we're perking up.
No.
On this Monday morning, we're trying to get a little more positive. A little less, what is it, apocalypto-y?
Right. I can't believe he's like, there needs to be blood on the altar.
But I don't think he's alone. I think a lot of people feel that way.
And don't tell anybody. I feel that way, too.
Well, you know, here we have, you know, investigations. 19 states, including Connecticut, are launching investigations into AIG.
Mm-hmm.
A little late. I think, but, you know, the people are really concerned about AIG employees appearing to be living off of supersized taxpayer-paid out bonuses.
Mm-hmm.
They've also been getting death threats, these executives.
Exactly.
And their corporation, AIG Corporate Headquarters, has encouraged its employees to not wear any paraphernalia
Look,
with the company logo on it.
Now, that Christmas present that y'all got last year, the jacket with the AIG,
don't wear that.
In fact, ING seeks some 2008 employee bonuses back, okay?
Yeah.
The Dutch Financial Group is asking for some company managers to give back bonuses payments for 2008.
Mm-hmm. And they're not giving any this year.
No.
They've said no.
No. They've asked their top 1,200 to give up their bonuses, and they said that this is a moral appeal. A moral appeal. I never thought that I would hear moral and corporate come go together.
Well, that's sad.
I never thought, Angela.
Well, please stay on the line. We're going to get to your calls immediately when we get back.
Yes, the number here is 1-800-STEPH-12. We are Frangela filling in for Mama and the Mooks. This is the Stephanie Miller Show.
Oh, it's a cross between beautiful and gross. I want to cry and vomit.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show.
And welcome back to the Stephanie Miller Show. Mama and the Mooks are on a much-deserved vacation this week, so we are here holding it down, or trying to.
Yeah.
We are Frangela, that means myself, Angela V. Shelton.
And our very best friend, Frances Callier.
That's right.
That's right.
We'd like to think of ourselves as your BFFs also.
Yes, your backup and your blackup.
It's 47 minutes past the hour.
The number here is 1-800-STEPH-12.
And you can always email us at Frangela.com.
You can become our friend at MySpace at The Real Frangela and at Facebook at Frangela Duo.
And that's just our names smushed together, so you'll only have to learn one.
That's
so
right.
So it's Frangela.
That's right.
Because we're always together, and so people confuse us. Like, even though I'm like a foot taller than her.
I know. It's crazy.
But they always confuse us, so we just said, just call us Frangela. And we do answer all of our emails. I'm a little bit behind because we had a busy couple weeks, but by this weekend, they will be free. But even if I haven't answered it, I've probably read it.
Yeah.
So we read them on air and all that.
Yes,
so
please
email us there. I haven't checked the live blog yet.
Yeah,
check that.
Oh, yes.
Good morning, live bloggers. I'm sure that Chris has put it up because Chris LaVoy
is on top of it.
The man works like no one else.
Yes. You know, yesterday, Timothy Geithner had an article in the Wall Street Journal, and it was called My Plan for Bad Bank Assets. Right?
By Timothy Geithner, or What I Did Over My Spring Break.
Yes, yes. I'm telling you. And basically, he is talking about how this challenge of our economy requires extraordinary actions, or extraordinary, however you would like to say it. And he's saying that no crisis like this has a simple or single cause, but as a nation, we borrow too much and let our financial system take on irresponsible levels of risk. And he was saying that this is fundamentally unfair, and Americans are justifiably angry and frustrated. And Angela, I'm going to tell you something. We are frangry.
We're very frangry.
We're very frangry. Hey, let's talk to you guys and let you weigh in. Let's talk to Ross in Atlanta. Ross, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show with Frangela.
Well, this is your self-proclaimed other mother.
I was wondering if it was you.
How are you?
Okay, I'll cut straight to the chase. Otherwise, older people tend to forget their train of thought. However, number one, when you say you want the bank, a bank or two to fail, that's if it's not your bank.
Right. Okay.
That's a really good point.
Okay, girl, you know,
that's a really good point.
You assume it's going to be a bank that you don't happen to have an account at.
Right.
So Obama's got the right idea there. He's on the right track. Let's just be patient. I know we're in a instant information age.
I know.
Let's just take a deep breath and be real calm.
Okay.
Okay, that's the first thing we're going to do about the banks, because we don't want the bank to fail, because if my bank doesn't fail in the first cut, the next day I'm going to be down there getting my money out.
That's right. There will be a run on the banks.
So we don't excellent point.
We don't want to create a run on the banks, and I think that's what Obama's very wisely trying to do here.
Yes.
Okay, number two, we got a war going with Rush Limbaugh.
Yes.
Let me tell you something. This is so incredibly sad.
Yeah.
When people worship on Sunday and they get all the congregation in, and this is happening across the country, they lock the doors.
Mm-hmm.
When have we ever had to do that in this country? And I can thank Hate Talk Radio for bringing things to that point.
Yeah.
Now, Angela, don't get upset with but now, Francis, when it comes to our nude rebellion, it needs to be done by the people that are past their Girls Gone Wild age.
I hear what you're saying.
You're right.
Keep your clothes on, and I'll take mine off. And if I get on Wall Street nude, then we'll be throwing stocks and bonds out the window to get me out of there.
You stop it, and you
Thank
were too kind.
You.
Some of you may not know that Francis, against Angela's, me, against my better wishes, wants to stage a naked protest.
Yes, well, I want to stand outside of the executives' homes and take off my clothes and say, no more bonuses! No more bonuses! No bailout! No bailout!
Some kind of bailout, but not like this!
Okay.
While naked, I've tried to suggest to her that I believe the nakedness hurts your getting your point of view across.
No. I'm going to tell you something. It's going to bring attention.
When
national,
I see naked people in the street,
attention to the situation.
Francis, but when I have seen naked people in the street, I instantly say to myself, someone not to listen to. They go in under the column of don't listen. That is my concern with the naked protest.
Okay.
I hear what Ross is saying, though. She's saying that we need to make sure this is in no way enjoyable experience.
No.
But I have to say that I think there's somebody for everybody.
I think so, too. Hey, let's talk to Bob in Chicago. Bob, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show with Frangela.
Girls, you do not want a 60-year-old man taking part in a naked protest.
Yes, I do, Bob. Sure,
okay?
Isn't Harrison Ford like 60? He's hot.
What was it?
Go ahead.
Okay. My thought was, I used to be in real estate in another lifetime way back when, and we had a term, fiduciary responsibility.
Yes.
Ooh, I haven't heard that in a long time.
Name, that is when you act on someone else's behalf in their best interest.
Mm-hmm.
Now, what occurred to me is, even when I was in real estate, is how in God's name does one get paid on commission and work in someone else's best interest? Because the only way you're paid is when something gets put together. You don't care if it's shaky or not.
Right.
And I don't wish, if I could inject one more
of
point.
Of course.
Something I get in trouble for at work. I drive a school bus in the Elgin School District in Illinois.
Oh.
And I get in trouble on occasion. Well, that's one of three jobs I do. I get in trouble for stating that most people who claim to believe in God are hypocrites. And when asked to explain myself, I suggest that every religion that I'm aware of has a line that says, do unto others as you would have them do unto you.
That's the golden rule, Bob.
Now, I don't care what religion you're in. How many people in this country during the last eight Bush years would claim not to believe in God?
Mm-hmm.
Well, then I'm sorry. If you believe in God, then it would kind of follow that. Gosh, I hate calling them all hypocrites, but
right.
I think you see what I'm saying.
I hear what you're saying, Bob.
I hear what you're saying, Bob.
Thank you for calling, Bob.
I think, you know, it's good to get away, to move away from the edge of the apocalypto pyramid.
Yes.
Maybe not throw heads down it so quickly.
Right.
But I do, I think that, you know, Bob brought up a really, several interesting, but a really good point about this whole working on commission and how that can work in line with fiduciary responsibility.
Yes.
And this is a question that actually, there was an article in Harper's last year, back when Francis and I were calling this a depression, by the way.
Yes, we were.
And other people were telling us we were wrong.
Yes.
There was this article that talked, they interviewed like six different people, and I think one or two of them were teams, mm-hmm. From a wide range of disciplines, but they were all well-respected, award-winning, highly educated economists, etc.
Mm-hmm.
And they went through why they thought this crisis had happened.
Right.
Because that's been, you know, obviously we're all like, how did this happen?
Yes, yeah.
And they all, one of the things that the only thing, in fact, that every single team mentioned was tying wages, the idea of stock options, and tying CEOs and high-level executives' wages to the profitability of the company.
That's right.
That simple act of creating this commission-based pay based on how much money the company makes has destroyed how companies were ran in this country. Because the reality was, it used to be the president of Ford was somebody who knew how to make a car.
Right.
Maybe he didn't work the line, but he had been an engineer.
Right.
He, you know,
he was
in the Ford family.
That's right.
But they worked, they promoted from within. Now you've got people who are going from company to company who are financial executives.
That's right.
And they're there to protect the profitability of the shareholders,
that's
which is
right.
not necessarily always in the best interest of the
company.
Or
right.
Certainly not of the workers.
Absolutely. You've got somebody crunching numbers, and when you crunch numbers, you crunch people.
Yes.
Okay?
We have, one of the live bloggers said earlier, we were talking about asking Congress or the Senate to take a pay cut. She wrote, it's complicated when you ask Congress to take a pay cut. It affects the rank-and-file federal employees.
Mm-hmm.
The top-tier federal employee's salary is tagged to the amount earned by the lower-tier member of Congress. If those feds get their salary lowered, then everyone below them on the standard GS or GS schedule pay scale would be lowered to maintain pay parity.
Yeah.
So, I actually have a friend who works at the Department of Commerce, and she needs that money.
Yeah.
But
to me, the sentiment...
My sentiment is this,
it's easy to sit there and argue
right.
when you're not being affected.
You don't
affected.
Have to go home to the situation.
Exactly. And it's not I have to say, it's not affecting them like it's affecting the rest of America.
Well, because they're clearly not getting it.
No, they're not getting it. And any time that if you can be a Republican and you can sit there and hold back and hold up discussions and making things happen, then I have to ask, you know, I have to say you're not getting it. You're not getting it. Hey, let's talk to Charles in Los Angeles. Charles, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show with Frangela.
Yeah, I just don't think we ought to be paying millions of dollars to guys that have cost us billions of dollars.
That's
a good point, Charles.
I'd rather see that money just come straight to us. They could give every taxpayer a CD, and we put it in the bank of our choice, and that'll help out.
Yep.
Millions of people.
Yep.
You know what? Charles,
Thank you, Charles.
I want to ask, and on this next break, again, the number is 1-800-STEPH-12. When we come back, and please stay on the line. We're going to get all your calls.
Mm-hmm.
And I love it. The boards are full, but stay there. I really do want to ask, why can't we do that?
Yeah.
Why can't we give money directly? And I don't even mean in the form of tax breaks, because there are those of us, there's so many people who are unemployed and underemployed.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, we did a story last weekend about several states have started using direct deposit for unemployment benefits.
Yes.
Like 30 states, I think, quite a few, and that they give you like a bank card.
Yes.
But they're charging, the banks are literally charging fees.
Charging fees.
On unemployment money.
That's right.
On money you put into the system
right.
for your rainy day.
Yes.
They're charging bank fees for, you know, the same kind of fees as if it was a regular ATM card.
Right.
$1.50 if it's not your bank or more. It's somebody's,
right. To check a balance.
And charging you to check your balance.
Yes.
On your unemployment money.
That
would be the money that they got from the federal government that you were getting, and the same people who got bailed out are also getting that on fees.
Yeah. Feeing your money,
follow
Charles.
Follow that.
The number here is 1-800-STEPH-12. We are Frangela, and this is the Stephanie Miller Show.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
I'm walking on
and welcome back to the Stephanie Miller Show. Mom and the Mooks are on a much-deserved vacation all this week, so we are lucky and happy to be filling in for them. We are Frangela, that means myself, Angela V. Shelton.
And our very best friend, Frances Sexy Pants Callier.
That's right.
That's right.
I'm slightly less sexy.
No.
Well, my pants are, at least. We like to think of ourselves as America's BFFs.
That's right.
Nay, the world. Yeah. We're your besties, we're your backup and your blackup, and
That's
we're here
right.
to answer your questions and have you answer ours.
It is 6 minutes past the hour.
The number here is 1-800-STEPH-1-2.
You can reach us at Frangela.com.
That's right. And at MySpace, mm-hmm. at Frangela Duo.
No, at the
Real Frangela. I keep doing that.
That's
I'm sorry.
Right. That's right. And Facebook at Frangela Duo.
And then Twitter,
you
right?
You can follow us at Twitter at Frangela1.
Frangela 1, is that like spelled out 1, O-N-E?
No, number
just,
1.
Just the number 1?
Number 1.
Interesting.
Yes.
Frances handles the Twittering.
Yes, and the Facebook.
Because I refuse! I'm not doing another one.
We
have a lot of calls. We're going to get to your calls right away. But
yes.
And a sad and poetic story. Apparently, a family dog. I feel really bad for this family. The woman, Kelly Davis and her family were in saving modes, you know, using mm-hmm. coupons, trying, like, well, all of us probably,
really?
Trying to get the most they can for their dollar. She'd saved up $400 in cash to put into her account.
Mm-hmm.
She put it on her dresser, and apparently, turned around, their 2-year-old great Swiss Mountain dog, Augie, ate it. She saw pieces of the $300 bills and 520s. And literally just doing everything they can to get that money back.
Out of that dog.
Late that night, she had the remnants of $160 in pieces because they tore up a lot of it. So mutilated currency can be replaced if more than 50% of a bill is identifiable.
Oh, really?
If the method of mutilation and supporting evidence demonstrates to the satisfaction of the Treasury that the rest of the bill has been destroyed.
Gotcha.
And then there was a miracle on Tuesday that Augie did produce an intact $20 bill.
Wow.
Now, that dog is very lucky, because in these times, that is a really... I know they took that dog and just started shaking him upside down.
Well, you know what? All I can think of is your dog. Angela has a huge dog named Benny.
German Shepherd mix.
And he'll
eat
anything.
I have two rescues. He will eat anything.
He will eat anything.
Anything.
Know?
Walls.
Yes, anything.
Plastic, metal.
He's eaten one of my shoes.
In fact, I've looked at things that he ate. The vet one day, making it really clear to me how bad the situation was, had gone through and pulled out things and was like, I believe this is a metal. I think this used to be a ball. He ate my yoga ball.
Yeah,
you know those
did.
Big, huge, round plastic, like they're huge. I came home and he had torn it to pieces.
Wow.
I can put my big butt on that and not hurt it.
Oh,
but
Benny.
I feel so bad for that family.
Make sure you guard your money,
girl. Guard your money.
Yes.
Lock it up.
And speaking of guarding our money, Timothy Geithner is unveiling his plan to buy up these bad, toxic assets in this new program, this concept.
The PP, what is it, the Private Public Investment Act,
yes.
whatever, the PPI.
Yes, yes, yes. And he plans to, it has a 3-pronged approach, which is number one, low interest loans to private investors to buy a bad bank assets. Number two, public-private fund run by fund managers to invest in troubled mortgages with government capital matching private capital contributions. That's quote unquote.
Because it sounds like you made it up.
It does sound like I made it up, but I didn't.
Yeah.
And number three, the Federal Reserve will enlarge the $1 trillion TALF, that's the Term Asset-Backed Securities Loan Facility, to buy assets weighing on bank balance sheets. And we have plenty of phone calls because people want to talk about this. Let's talk to Tim and Aurora. Tim, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show with Frangela.
Hi, ladies. My comment is this, is that they keep on talking about toxic assets, and I frankly think that the banks are telling us what the toxic assets are by their actions, not by their words. And what their actions are is that they're reducing credit card limits, they're raising credit card interest rates,
mm-hmm.
and they're not talking at all, not at all, about the $2.5 trillion
mm-hmm.
of unsecured debt that Americans carry with their credit cards.
Well, you know what?
Thank you.
Tim,
oh, Tim.
$2.5 trillion.
Tim, so
one more time. One
more than the $500 billion that they claim they can fix the,
right.
the
mm-hmm.
mortgage mess with. And
I think you're absolutely right.
States. The toxic assets are credit card unsecured debt.
Yeah.
And they're not telling us that.
No, yes. You're right. Thank you so much for calling, and Tim, for saying that. You're absolutely right. That the reality is, I'm telling you, it's a great article in Harper's called Infinite Debt. And one of the major things that is getting ignored, you know, we talk about subprime loans, and there were prime loan problems.
Right.
But that's the real, there were.
prime loans were a problem,
but
number
one. Well, one of the two. Two of the big things that are not getting talked about are the attack on unions, the attack on the working people, a refusal to raise the minimum wage.
Yes.
We have a minimum wage that if you work 40 hours a week at it, it puts you below the poverty line.
That's right.
Which makes absolutely no sense to me.
And if you're underemployed right now, you're feeling it.
Oh, of course. And we all are, for the most part.
Yes.
That allowing companies to file Chapter 11 is a way to get rid of their union contracts and start over. And the usury laws, the getting rid of usury laws that prevented people from charging exorbitant interest rates. People are now, along with deflation, what happens is the dollar deflates. It's not worth as much as it was, but your debt's still as much as it was.
Right.
So it takes more to pay off. You have less to pay off what you had to pay off before.
That's right.
So what ends up happening is we're in this vicious cycle. And I think he's absolutely right that the toxic assets, what you don't hear the banks talking about are those things. And that's where they made their money.
Yes.
In the amount of money that the financial sector has been able to make on credit cards and interest rates
It's
astounding.
It is criminal.
And it needs to be. But these are things, you know, we keep hearing this word. If I hear consumer confidence one more time.
I know. My populist rage is going to go and kick my consumer confidence's
behind. Help me out, fellow consumers.
Yes.
My confidence isn't faltering. My bank account is.
Yes, that's right. Let's talk.
Because I believe in new things.
Okay.
I do.
All right. Let's talk to Sandy in Chicago. Sandy, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show with Frangela.
Hi. I totally agree with what you guys are saying, but I would say it's a toxic mentality that has killed this country.
Mm-hmm.
What happened to living within our means?
Right.
People need to start using cash.
Yes.
Stop the credit. Let's get back to living off of one income and putting a check in the bank.
Right.
That's what we need to get back to. Because it's not just the credit card company's fault.
No.
It's our fault for living above our means and trying to keep up with the Joneses.
But look at Sandy. What? That's such a great point, too.
I agree with you, Sandy. Thank you for calling. But this is my issue, okay? Because, and it's, you know, I'm not saying that this is necessarily my personal situation, but I would say that a lot of Americans have bought into the reality that the way that we live in America is that we need 2 to 3 cars in our homes, that we need a flat screen television, that our kids, the public schools are so bad that we need to send our kids to private institutions. You know, and a lot of different things that, you know, we're traversing this economy with. And the reality is that, you know, now everybody is mortgaged to the hilt and living this so-called reality. And now what do you do? Because when you pull the string, your whole life falls apart.
Yeah, this is where I get upset about this, though, because I think that I agree with that, absolutely, Sandy. In fact, Frances and I, we were regular contributors on a program on NPR that got cut because of funding, actually, day to day, and they had their last show, I believe, a couple weeks ago.
And
we did a show. One of the segments we did was on the economy, and they asked us, and they actually, I think they cut this part out of the segment, which really upset me, because the very next day there was an article about it.
Mm-hmm.
But they asked Frances and I, Frangela, what we saw coming next in the economic crisis. This was last year, I believe, even.
Last August.
And we said we thought that there would be, you would see banks start to cut down on consumer credit. What you're going to start to see is banks stop sending out credit cards, cutting people's credit limits, and raising interest rates, and not allowing people to use credit cards anymore. And very educated, really smart, wonderful people at NPR and a great show looked at us and said, well, what will people use to buy things?
Mm-hmm.
And Frances, ever so cleverly, goes, I want to introduce you to a little concept I call cash.
Yes.
Because we've forgotten that.
Yes.
But I think it's when I have to hear about billions of dollars in corporate tax breaks, while the same one of somebody called yesterday on our show about a company in particular that is moving their got bailout money. I want to say Merrill Lynch, but I think I might be wrong.
Mm-hmm.
I'll try to figure it out. A company got a bunch of millions of dollars, billions in bailout money, and they're now moving their entire IT department to India.
To India. And that's not okay. And that is where populist rage comes in handy, okay? Let's use this to our benefit.
Or consumer confidence.
Yeah, or consumer confidence.
we're training out those terms now.
That's right. Let's talk to Sue in Madison. Sue, you are on Stephanie Miller's show with Frangela.
Hello. You guys are absolutely fantastic. I'm fired up today.
Thank you.
So you got me to call in. I'm so shy.
Thank you for calling, Sue.
You're welcome. In Madison, we have these commercials. I don't know if you call them exploitative or just kind of getting in with the energy, but they're always talking about the bailout and how you need these, you know, cheap pizzas and, mm-hmm. you know, they know times are hard.
Mm-hmm.
So there is so much... Yeah, and there's so much energy out there, and I thought, well, this is the perfect time to organize a march on Washington.
Yes, it is. You noticed
that Sue did not say without your clothes on, though.
You know what?
You noticed that.
Optional.
Right, we're going to talk about that.
I'm going to be
in
the clothes.
Sue, we're
going to
talk about that in the organizational meeting later.
Section.
I think you're right, Sue.
Yeah, and I mean, you guys come up with the picket signs. I know there are a lot of them out there.
I got my old WGA signs. I'll write over those.
Yes. Thank you, Sue.
I think that, you know, one of the ways that besides, I mean, obviously, I think that marching is good. People are marching outside of, many of you may have heard, AIG executives' homes.
Yes.
There's a group of people who have decided to take it to the streets.
That's right. They got on a bus.
They got on a bus, and they've been dropping off groups of people in front of AIG executives' homes.
You know what? And I agree with that, Angela. And I'm going
to
tell you something.
They want to put a human face to the problem.
I agree with that. Because there are people. We are people. The American people stand for something. We're not just this collective mass where you dig down deep into our wallets
and
you take our money.
But we're not a collective mass of irresponsible people. And I'm really sick of the characterization of the economy failing because I don't know how to spend my money.
That's right.
Really? It's me? Because
yeah.
You know what wasn't in the budget up until this year? The wars.
Yeah.
I have a problem balancing my checkbook, and we didn't have the wars
right.
on our budget.
Right.
Why am I taking the hit?
And that's my only thing. It's like, you know, Sandy Cullen, I agree with her saying that we need to live within our means, but I cannot allow us all to just take this responsibility, you know.
That's what we are, though. They're taking our money and, yeah.
Yeah. Let's talk to Saul in Compton. Saul, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show with Frangela.
Thank you for waiting, Saul.
Hey, thank you for having me. Guess what? I found out that if they just get rid of the student loans, everything would be just fine.
Yeah.
All these student loans, and I even work in the inner city. Mm-hmm. I have over $200,000 worth of student loans, bachelor's and master's to pay for.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Get rid of the student loans, and the economy would be fine.
I hear what you're saying, so I'll pay off your student loans.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Thank you.
Well, you know what? Isn't that the one thing, or one of the two things economists always say that it's a good investment is education?
Right. Well, you know
what? It's one of the things you're allowed to go into debt over.
Yes. Well, you know, here's Saul. Here's a person who has worked on bettering themselves to become part of the bright and the elite of America. And, you know, and this person is going to be paying for that for the rest of their lives.
I know. You know, I have two or three friends who are really hoping I make it because they just want me to pay off their loans. And it's not for some of them. You know, I had a friend who had about $200,000. She went to law school and college and had to figure out how to pay for that.
Mm-hmm.
My mother, you know, she was able, first person in her family to go to college. She came of age in the civil rights movement.
Mm-hmm.
And she was able to take advantage of student loans that helped, but she didn't pay those off until I was like 16. And I remember I saw something burning in the backyard, and I heard a devilish glee, you know,
a laugh.
And I went into the backyard, and my mother was dancing around the barbecue pit. I mean, dancing like. And I was like, are you a witch now? She's like, I just paid off my student loans.
Yeah.
And I couldn't believe that because I was in high school.
Right. And you were about to go
to college. And then maybe when she looked at me, I could see that pastor rise. Oh, here come the other ones.
Yeah.
I mean, amazing.
The number here is 1-800-STEPH-12.
Do we have time for Scott if he's quick?
We'll come back to you.
Oh, come back to him?
We'll come back to him.
So hold on the line, Scott.
Yes.
Because you're in Cape Cod, which I love.
Yes. The number here is 1-800-STEPH-12. Mom and the Mooks are on vacation. We are filling in. We are Frangela. And this is the Stephanie Miller Show.
Yeah, sorry about that. The show's gotten a little lowbrow.
What are you talking about? It's like the most hilarious show ever.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show.
And welcome back to the Stephanie Miller Show. Stephanie and the Mooks are on vacation this week, so we are very honored to be filling in for them. We are Frangela, that means myself, Angela V. Shelton.
And our very best friend, Frances Sexy Pants K. Stallion.
As she is known in the streets.
Yes, that's right. In the streets where you could get a juice loan and they didn't treat you to, like AIG did.
That's 25 minutes past the hour.
Yes.
The number here is 1-800-STEPH-1-2.
That's right.
It is Monday, March 23rd, for those of you who don't know. You can email us at frangela.com.
You can become our friend at MySpace at The Real Frangela and at Facebook at Frangela Duo. And you can also follow us on Twitter at Frangela1. That's the number one.
That's Frangela, right. And then we say hi to the live bloggers also. We're going to be reading some more of your comments. What we've been talking about this morning, Tim Geithner gave a pen and paper discussion.
Mm-hmm.
So I guess it wasn't really like a speech. Per se, on the plans, the government and the Treasury's new plans to deal with the toxic asset situation
and
government bailout buying out of those assets.
Yeah. I was going to say the Wall Street rallied and the stocks opened really high due to the bank rescue plan, which, you know, thank goodness.
I guess.
You know? Thank goodness. I mean, that's the first time that I've seen people from the Obama administration make a comment in terms of the banking situation and the economy, and that they got a bounce instead of a negative reaction. So that at least has got to make them feel good this morning, you know. But let's talk to Scott in Cape Cod. Scott, thank you so much for holding. You're on the Stephanie Miller Show with Frangela.
Yes, good morning, Angela. Good morning, Francis.
Good morning.
I'd like to say that we're in a depression. I agree with you. We're in a deep depression. It's getting deeper.
Mm-hmm.
And I have a villains list on these greedy international bankers on Wall Street. Henry Greenberg, he was the CEO of AIG. Because of his swindling and incompetence, $180 billion for AIG, and we're not even done shelling out money for AIG. Then you've got others involved. You've got Alan Schwartz, billions needed to bail out Bear Stearns. He was the CEO of Alan Schwartz was the CEO of Bear Stearns.
Yeah. Right. You know what,
we could go through the whole list. You're absolutely right.
You're so right. You know, there are so many people to put a blame and a face to.
But, you know, we did deregulate. You know, here's the deal. We were talking yesterday on our weekend show on KTLK, which you can listen to at ktlk.com or frangela.com.
Mm-hmm.
We were talking about an article reporting that AIG is apparently suing the government quietly.
Yes.
They're quietly suing the U.S. government for the return of over $306 million in tax payments.
Right.
And we were talking about, does that make any sense? And we'll talk about that more when we come back from this next break, that and other news, including the headline that more women needing cash go from jobless to topless.
Yes.
We'll be addressing that also.
What? You know what? That really makes me so upset.
It is upsetting.
That's the wrong direction.
Tony is smiling, though. I just want you to know.
That is the wrong direction.
But
you know?
Whatever you feel about that, but we just were reading that, and people, you know, a gentleman called in and said, look, you know, the job of AIG executives, the job of every corporate executive, they have to sue because they're supposed to be there to protect their shareholders. And I think we addressed this earlier with one of our earlier callers, the concept of how can you be fiduciary. Yeah, Bob, who called about fiduciary responsibility when mixed with making a profit.
Mm-hmm.
So here you have a company that's receiving the bailout money and bonuses and trying to get some of that money or using it for bonuses, but they're suing to get back some of their tax money, too, at the same time.
Yes, their tax money, which is our tax money. You know what?
Don't cry, okay?
It's so incestuous.
Because we're here to make it. We're going to have fun. And you know what? And then later in the third hour, we'll have Idiot of the Day.
Yes, we will. The number here is 1-800-STEPH-1-2. We are Frangela filling in for Mama and the Mooks.
Hold on.
Hold on the line. We're going to get to you right here on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
Oh, dear. Did I break wind?
Jeez, get the room clear out.
Good morning and welcome back to the Stephanie Miller Show. Mom and the Mooks are on a very much deserved vacation this week, so we are filling in for them. We are Frangela, that means myself, Angela V. Shelton.
And our very best friend, Frances Callier.
That's right, we just took our names and smushed them together.
That's
right. To make one, so it's just Frangela.
Mm-hmm.
It is 33 minutes past the hour.
Yes, and the number here is 1-800-STEPH-1-2.
On this Monday, March 23rd. Give us a call, we're in the call boards are full and they have been, and we're going to be taking your calls. But before the last break, we sort of teased an article This is the headline, more women needing cash go from jobless to topless.
Wow.
Apparently, the tough job market is prompting a growing number of women across the country to dance in strip clubs, appear in adult movies, or pose for magazines.
That hurts
my
heart.
And with the article, though, you know what, I don't, you know, I believe in freedom, whatever. But,
oh, yeah.
But in the article, they talk about some of the performers interviewed said that they were initially really nervous, but they used alcohol to calm their nerves.
Right.
When I read something like that in a country that I know is gripped by addiction to begin with,
yeah.
And the fact that that's where people are, that they're doing something that they would not be doing.
That's right. You know what? It's
if
one
they
thing,
had a choice.
It's one thing if you grow up and you go, you know what, I want to be a dancer on the pole.
Right.
That's one thing. It's another thing is when you turn around and you go, my kids are hungry, I can't pay my bills, and this is something I have to do.
It's really vivid. Entertainment's Hirsch said the number of women in his business has doubled in the last couple of years, with roughly 800 working as adult actresses.
Wow.
He says it's more competitive than I've seen it in 25 years.
Wow. Hey, we've got a ton of calls on the line here. Let's talk to Sean in Chicago. Sean, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show with Frangela.
Hello, girls. How are you?
Good. How are you?
Good. Listen, the guys responsible for this is the Bush crime family.
Yeah.
There you go.
Yep.
Little George, the past 8 years has destroyed the economy, the country. His grandfather, back in 1933, tried to overthrow FDR to destroy the New Deal, the middle class.
Yeah.
But it's all in rich poor. That's it.
Look at
his brother destroyed the savings and loans.
Yep, he sure did.
20-something years ago, right?
That's right.
It's divide and conquer. The Republican Party and the Bush crime family are responsible for everything that is happening.
Thank you, Sean. I think that people, I think it is important to know that this crisis didn't begin January 20th.
Right. Well, you know what? This is the thing. That's why we have seen this media rollout of Dick Cheney. I was like, okay, first when we first heard from him a couple weeks ago, I thought, okay, you know what? He just woke up and he decided he wanted to go on a program. Now I believe that this is now a press tour to rewrite history and make everybody try to believe that these guys are not, what they did was not criminal and literally evil.
Well, you know, and I have to say the major media outlets are helping.
Yeah.
Are helping a lot in that. For example, we've heard a lot of talk about, and this last week, Senator Dodd fell on the sword to some extent and start to try to take responsibility for the language that has allowed for AIG bonuses that were in the TARP deal. But the reality is, you can go check this out at several different websites if you'd like, that an inspector, the special inspector general for the TARP, Neil Barofsky, who was appointed by Bush, just last week, March 19th, the same day as a lot of these stories start coming out and attacking Dodd and he should have to pay and he's going to lose in the next election because he did this. The reality is that this man, under oath in front of people, said that they had many discussions in 2008 with the Bush Treasury Department about specifically about retention payments and about bonuses specifically, and that they knew it was there and they wanted it there.
Yeah, this was in front of the Ways and Means Committee on March 19th, and he's talking about the retention payments were explicitly contemplated.
In fact, in the November 2008 TARP agreement with AIG, it addresses the quote annual bonus for 2009 for senior partners, including all retention payments paid or payable to such senior partner under any retention arrangement between the senior partner and the company for any period ending on or prior to March 31st, 2010.
Yep.
So that was in the Bush TARP. That was in the first, that language was there. There was a discussion about it. People knew it was there, including ostensibly, I would guess, the president.
Right.
But certainly in the economic sector, they knew about it. So and then we have, you know, and in fact, emphatically through this article in Media Matters, they go on to show over and over again how many times Senator Dodd tried to argue against this language being put in, and he eventually caved on, and it caved entirely. But I think it's important that we not allow ourselves. We do our own research.
Yes.
You don't even have to listen to me. You know, don't listen to Angela. Don't listen to Francis. I mean, listen to us, but then go look it up.
That's right.
You know, you don't, and then get as many sources as you can. And you can actually read the TARP, too.
Yes.
It's that you can go U.S. government online and read it.
Yeah. Well, you know what, Angela? I'm going to tell you something. We're going to all have to learn some law and take some time and
Work together. Sit down with in a team. Have a salon.
Yes. Because
everybody take a section of the TARP and report back.
And report back. The number here is 1-800-STEPH-12. Let's talk to Deb in Reno. Deb, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show with Frangela.
Hello, ladies.
Hi.
I have an idea. It seems like the whole banking thing has been either an all or nothing thing. We're either going to go all socialist or we're going to go all privatized.
Right.
Why can't we have a national bank that competes with the privatized banks?
Hey, I like that.
Ooh. Well, that was this, and I have to say, this is my husband's idea. Michael, if you're listening, I'm giving you credit.
Michael,
good job.
Good job.
But you have a really good PR team.
I mean, why not? And then the national bank can set the rates and let everybody else play catch up with us.
That's right.
You know, I think that's an excellent point, Deb.
Thank you, Deb.
You know, an excellent
and
idea.
Michael.
And I'd like to hear from people what they think about that.
Yeah,
I mean, the reality
yeah.
is I would rather bank that way.
Me too. And be more protected because, you know what, and this is the thing we were talking about in the last hour, talking about morals and making sure that our morals are keeping up with, you know, our industry. You know,
mm-hmm.
because nobody is looking out for us. And at the end of the day, the American people, what I hear on a day-to-day basis is that we don't trust anybody. You know, we just don't trust. We don't trust our leaders. We don't trust the financial system. We don't know where to turn to. But I don't, you know where I'm going to turn to? Rita in Minneapolis. Rita.
Rita, do you have the answer?
You have the answer. You're on the Stephanie Miller Show with Frangela.
Yeah, I really think you guys are part of the answer. I've never understood.
You're brilliant.
I never understood economics, and you make it understandable.
Oh, thank you.
I don't think very many people do understand it. And just the phrase toxic assets, that
yeah.
makes no sense at all. Why
yeah, that, thank you.
Because it's an oxymoron. It doesn't make those words mean the opposite thing.
And it's just propaganda and hocus pocus. And mm-hmm. we're just so used to not knowing what's going on. And they call something TARP, and then that we just cling to that.
Yeah.
Right.
Like it's a solution. We don't even know what it is. No idea what's going on. You guys should have your own show or go on Rachel Maddow or.
Oh, we would love to.
We would love to have a job, Rita.
With Frangela or something.
You know what? Thank you, Rita.
Thank you, Rita.
You know what? I'm gonna tell you something. You, Rita,
thank
that
you.
Is actually a fundamental tenet of Frangela. We really believe, and I could give you the whole background on this discussion. I'll just give you a quick read on it, which is that we really believe that language is about communication.
That's right.
And that the goal in the goal when you're communicating with people is to be understood and to understand
right.
what they're saying. So there's no need to make things more complicated. You don't need to know how many vocab words I know.
No.
You don't need to know about my degrees or my IQ. We should be able to have a conversation as people where we all understand each other.
Mm-hmm.
And I think Rita's absolutely right.
Yeah.
A lot of these concepts, they get made into, you know, you heard about the derivatives market. You hear about all these things. They sound really complicated and confusing.
Mm-hmm.
But if you think about most of it as a card game,
right.
you know, it gets a lot easier. And there
yeah.
are ways. And I think that Rita makes a really good point that, you know, I believe that the media has been complicit, you know, in keeping these things a mystery and telling us that if I hear one more time that the reason for these bonuses is to keep the economic talent.
Yes. You know
when
what?
Did talent become equal to not doing well at something?
Listen,
like, I mean, that's not talented.
We as the American people know and understand when we are being shoveled poop. Okay? And it's
right
being
there.
Shoved down our throats.
And
okay?
that's why people need to call in, write in, be on top of it, let them know what they're thinking, let them know that we're not falling for it.
No, we're not. We're not that stupid. And that's the thing. We keep being treated like we're stupid. The number here is 1-800-STEPH-12. We are Frangela, filling in for Mama and the Mooks, and this is the Stephanie Miller Show.
It's positively delightful.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show.
And welcome back to the Stephanie Miller Show. Stephanie Miller and the Mooks, Chris Lavoie and Jim Ward are on a much-deserved vacation this week. So we are filling in for them. We are Frangela. That means myself, Angela V. Shelton.
And our very best friend, Frances Sexy Pants Callia.
That's right. We just put our names together, smushed them into one, Frangela. That's Frangela.
Yes, it's 47 minutes past the hour.
And this Monday, March 23rd.
Yes.
The number here is 1-800-STEPH-12.
That's 1-800-STEPH-12.
Or 1-800-783-7412.
Yeah.
If you're like me, that spelling it out takes you too long.
Well, you know what? Also,
it makes you feel dumb.
On my cell phone, I can't do that.
You've said that before.
I can't dial stuff 1-2. I have to know the number, which the end number is 7412.
Look at you.
Yeah?
I'm going to look at your phone because that doesn't seem right.
I thought that
was standardized.
Mm-mm.
We've been talking about this morning. Timothy Geithner came on and gave a talk,
yes,
a pen and paper discussion, as it was being described earlier,
on
the government's new plan to help invest in or buy up toxic assets. He outlined the long-awaited bad asset plan.
Yes, the goal.
Not long-awaited. I love the use of those kinds of words.
You know what? That's, you know, various people in the media really trying to put their spin already.
I know.
On this situation. It's just like, can the man just get the plan out before y'all start complaining?
Yeah, it's the Public-Private Investment Program, or PIP. And the goal is to buy up at least $500 billion of bad assets, which is, again, it's asset and bad, toxic don't work together. But anyway, such as subprime mortgages that are now in danger of default. They don't mention the other things in there, just subprime, because, of course, it's just us.
Right.
And that this would be a way to cleanse the balance sheets and then, therefore, would hopefully, unlike the TARP money before and thus far, would help push the banks lending again and stop the shortage of capital that's been going on in major institutions.
Also, the government will, this is the part that got me, Angela, the government will run auctions between the banks selling assets and the investors buying them, hoping to effectively create a market, to create a market for these assets, okay? So what they're hoping is that people, rich people, will come along and say, you know what, they are selling these bad assets, they're so cheap. That's so cheap, and I can get money for buying a bad asset that may potentially at some point turn around to be turn into positive.
Turn into an asset?
Yes, an asset instead of a toxic asset.
It'll be an asset, so we've been talking about that.
Yes.
And, you know, we're talking about unemployment and a whole sorts of issues, and one of the things I wanted to bring up is that something that we don't hear about when we hear about the, in particular, the AIG and all the people who are getting bonus money through AIG. Because, you know, AIG, they're a big corporation. There are other companies who are getting money through them.
That's right. It's incestuous.
Yeah, it's really bad. But the reality is that one of the things that doesn't get talked about are things like, for example, this man, Joseph J. Cassano, who was the former head of AIG's financial products division. He apparently, his money is under the column called retirement. And nobody seems on Capitol Hill seems very interested in talking about getting any of that money back that came in the form of those kind of incentives or bonuses or whatever when people took buyouts and all that. And I think that it's important that we look at, we want to know where this money is.
Right. Well, you know what, Angela, this is what we talk about all the time. We are independent contractors, and we work a lot of different kinds of jobs when we do work or did work in the past. once upon a time when we had jobs.
We do.
But what I have to say about that is that what Angela always says is when people try to say, oh, well, we don't really have money for that. You know, won't you come and work this job for us, but we don't really have money to pay you. It's like, it's the fact is that they do have money to pay you, but they have to put it in a different column.
It's very interesting.
It depends on what column you put something in.
For example, we might get hired to, say, do a TV show someplace. They will pay for our lodging. They'll pay for our hotel. They will pay for every receipt that we give them while we're there,
yes,
but they won't pay us a wage.
Right.
So it doesn't really make a lot of sense, because at the end of the day, if they paid us,
right,
they wouldn't have to pay the other stuff, or they wouldn't, there'd be an argument against paying it.
Right.
And then, but that column, that paying people column, wages has to be zero, at all possible.
That's right.
And I think that we really, as a country, need to stand up and talk about wages and talk about parity and talk about the fact that, for example, I'm reading on the live blog that another blogger is talking about in Maryland, the unemployment money is based on your earnings for the past 6 months. And she says that her daughter's boyfriend was laid off after 4 months of employment.
Right.
So the employer's unemployment insurance doesn't go up, and the young man doesn't qualify for unemployment funds.
Right, right.
And there's a lot of situations like that,
where people are really working the system and working around the system. And the thing is that if you're working for a large corporation or a company, they know exactly when to cut you out so that they have to pay the least amount for you, even though you gave them all you had when you were working. You know what I'm saying?
Exactly.
Let's talk to Kim in Anaheim. Kim, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show with Frangela.
Yes. Hi, Frangela.
Hi.
What you said just now is absolutely right about them cutting you off just before they don't need you anymore.
Right.
But that's not what I called about. I called in response to the lady who who asked what happened to living within our means.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And I want to ask her, what happened to paying a decent living wage so that people can live within their means?
Thank you.
You can't live off of air.
Thank
you.
You are absolutely right, Kim. You know what? And I'm going to tell you something. This is what people, they like to talk about credit card debt as if everybody bought new laptops and iPhones. But a lot of people that I know are using their credit cards to buy groceries.
Right.
They're using their credit cards to supplement their lost income.
That's right.
And I have a friend who found out quite accidentally and unfortunately that her husband had ran up $50,000 in credit card debt over the last several years because he had less hours at his job, he didn't know what to do, and they weren't really, whatever. There's a lot of issues there, but the reality was that he was buying food.
Yeah.
He was paying for the kids' school. He was buying shoes for the family.
He didn't want to be less of a man in that situation.
He wanted to, but he didn't have the money.
He didn't have
the tips
money.
He works in the service industry, and tips are down. Obviously, restaurants are down, and the reality is, people, including the UAW, and all the unions have taken all these. This is what kills me. The last major UAW contracts, they negotiated, particularly Ford and other places, negotiated pay freezes and pay cuts and bringing in new workers at lower rates. All that
with
under
no
the guise.
Healthcare.
No health care. All under the guise of helping keep that company viable. That company that did now is failing anyway.
Right.
And what's the first thing that people bring up is cutting wages of the UAW people again. While not cutting the wages of CEOs, while giving them bonuses,
that's right.
We're always taking the hit.
Yes.
My question, Stephanie Miller listeners, is absolutely, I do believe that sometimes you have to delay some gratification, but is housing a gratification?
Right.
Is food a gratification?
Well, clearly, what we're being told is that, yes, it's a gratification.
It's irresponsible to pay for your life.
I'm going to tell you something, Angela. The reality of what we are being told is that, yes, we should be living three families in an apartment. That is what we're being told, because that probably, it takes about three families to kind of make up a one whole payment.
Well, that's called
for
a co-op.
Yes.
Which, if then that's, I have to question our economic system.
We're being told. And I'm going to tell you something. I don't know if we can step into this same economic situation twice. This river has run past us. The time has come and gone. I don't know if we can get back our old economy. And I don't know if we want it. Okay?
Well,
we want the jobs.
Right.
But I don't know if we can get this back. Let's talk to Sam in Chicago. Sam, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show with Frangela.
How are you guys doing?
Good. How are you?
I'm doing good, a little early. But what I wanted to discuss was the bailout plan. Obama is really trying to pressure Congress.
Mm-hmm.
I like Obama. I think he's doing a really good job. But I really oppose these bailout plans,
mm-hmm.
and I really don't like how he's really stressing how this has to be passed.
Well, Sam, I have a question for you.
Mm-hmm.
What do you think needs to happen if you don't want to bail out a bank, GM, the car companies, etc.? What do you think should happen?
To be completely honest, I really am not sure what the best solution is. And
right.
that's why I think Obama and everybody in Congress needs to sit down and think of a long-term solution
mm-hmm.
and not a quick fix,
mm-hmm.
spending more government money, more people's taxes, and, eventually raising taxes to help
right.
pay this off.
Right.
Sam, I think you're...
Thank you, Sam.
I absolutely agree, because I don't understand. This is my problem. There are actually... We did this research... There were a lot of economists who were saying 15 years ago, 10 and more years ago, that this subprime situation was a problem.
Right.
And they were talking about the global derivative market. We don't have to get into all that. But it wasn't such a surprise. The Ponzi scheme thing shocked a lot of people.
That caught us. That caught us off guard.
It shouldn't have, maybe. What we're learning is that the SEC,
right.
this organization that was supposed to be watching the economy and watching trust, watching people like Bernie Madoff, were in fact online.
Yeah.
Doing their own personal business.
Yes.
et cetera.
Looking up adult websites.
Et cetera. And so, I think that from my perspective, and I am not an economist, but I believe that people spend more money when they have more money.
Right.
And I really, really need to hear a discussion about the minimum wage.
Okay.
I really desperately, Angela V. Shelton, need to hear a discussion about, and I don't want to hear that employers can't afford to pay people a livable wage because it'll destroy their company. Because from what I can tell, not paying them a livable wage is destroying their company.
The company, yes.
So that is not a good excuse to me. It's the same, we'll lose the economic talent if we don't give them
mm-hmm.
a bonus. Really? I'd like to lose them.
Yes.
I'd like to leave them at the bus stop.
And this is what I'm going to throw out here to you guys right now. The reality is that we as Americans have not understood at this moment that the money, if you've got bailout fatigue, you better put on your gym shoes, because to get to the finish line, we have a long way to go, and that means a lot more money is going down this rabbit hole, okay, known as bailout. You're going to be paying, we're going to be paying for years and years, stuffing money down this hole and hoping that we will hear it clink down
but
at the bottom.
We're going to get receipts.
Yes, we will. The number here is 1-800-STEP.
Stay on the line, please.
Stay on the line. We're going to get to your phone calls. We are Frangela filling in for Mama and the Mooks, and this is the Stephanie Miller Show.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Welcome back to the Stephanie Miller Show. Mama and the Mooks are on vacation this week, so we are honored to be filling in for them. We are Frangela, that means myself, Angela V. Shelton.
And our very sexy best friend, Frances Gallion.
Just pushing that sexy agenda.
You know, every time,
it's
girl.
It's 6 minutes past the hour here on this lovely Monday, March 23rd.
Yes, and the number here is 1-800-STEPH12 or 1-800-783-7412.
Yes, because we were discussing earlier, it makes me feel stupid when I try to do it on the phone. I know, and I can read. I can.
We read a lot.
You can email us at Frangela.com.
You can become our friend at MySpace at The Real Frangela, and at Facebook at Frangela Duo. And you can also follow us on Twitter. You can tweet to us at Frangela 1. That's the number one.
That's right.
Yes.
And Frances maintains that because I'm saying no. I'm a non-consensual Twitterer at this point.
Yes, you are.
And it's not fair or right. She said, that's the people doing that. They have to do it. Didn't that sound just like her?
Yeah, we have a ton of phone calls, a ton of people wanting to weigh in on this AIG mess, on the bailout and our bailout fatigue.
Our new PPIP,
yes.
The Private Public Investment Program.
Yes.
The PPIP. That was announced today by Timothy Geithner.
Mm-hmm.
We've had people calling for his resignation. We've had people calling for Harry Caray.
Yes.
On the part of the financial community.
Literally, so Frank earlier, the first call this
first
morning.
First call this morning. Frank, right and early from Detroit.
He says that needs to be blood on the altar.
We need to sacrifice
some banks.
Need to sacrifice their existence.
But then Ross came in and called, and she said, you know what? As long as it's not my bank. And that's how we all feel. We don't want, none of us want our own personal bank to fail. But, you know, but the sentiment, the populist rage, which we can talk about a little bit more tomorrow probably,
mm-hmm.
The populist rage out there that's out there and not addressing the consumer, lack of consumer confidence, okay? But the populist rage, people are so mad that they are lining up outside of AIG executives' homes.
Yeah, this
Angela,
guy, Douglas Poling, I believe is his name, and he gave back his money.
Yes, he did.
If you're out there now, he gave back the money.
Yeah. So y'all move on to somebody else's house because Doug gave it up, okay?
Yeah, but we were talking about that. And also, Obama was on 60 Minutes last night.
Yes, he was.
For those of you who may have not caught that, he was in his longest interview since being elected, I believe. And he talked about the need to spend some of our taxpayer money to save financial firms in the auto industry.
Yes.
And he said, quote, I just want to say that the only thing less popular than putting money into banks is putting money into the auto industry. And he said it kind of with a laugh. And also, he called out Cheney.
Yes, he did.
He called out the Cheney, which I was happy to see because I'm sick of hearing from him.
Yeah, Dick Cheney revising history. Let's talk to Nicole in Oakland. Nicole, you are on the Stephanie Miller Show with Frangela. Go ahead.
Hello, Frangela. I do have a solution to this that targets the right people.
Okay.
Number one, ban corporate personhood.
Mm-hmm.
Number two, seize these companies that trashed our economy.
Oh, yeah.
Right.
Liquefy their assets and redistribute it by raising the minimum wage and single-payer health care.
You know what? I'm in favor of that. What we call that the Nicole plan, the Nicole asset retrieval plan. I'm going to call that NARP, Nicole asset retrieval plan.
Thank you, Nicole. She was also
NARP is the new Nicole's new minister of NARP.
Yeah, but see, this is the thing.
I'll send you the paperwork later, Nicole.
I don't think. think that Halliburton and Blackwater are going to give up that money.
They're not called Blackwater anymore.
Oh, yeah, right. They're called something else.
They're called something else cuter because they had to get away from that.
Yeah.
Not that I please don't come after me. Please don't.
Suge Knight and Blackwater, I don't want to mess with.
Oh, there are several people. Let me tell you something you will not hear Frangela talk about. Anything but the good works of Mr. Suge Knight and Blackwater. Nicole, new head of NARP. I agree.
Yeah.
You know, I really believe that, you know, Governor Schwarzenegger, he, for those of you who may or may not know, he just won a little decision, if you will, for the Schwarzenegger administration. On Thursday, the Superior Court Judge Timothy Frawley wrote that the controller last year, the controller John Cheng, had exceeded his authority last summer by defying Governor Arnold Schwarzenegger's order to cut the pay of state workers to the federal minimum wage. This was what one of the tactics that the governor used in order to get a budget approved. So he said, I'm going to cut the pay of all state workers to the federal minimum until there's an approved budget.
Mm-hmm.
And so the ruling basically said that the comptroller, when he stopped that, had exceeded his authority.
Right.
I just don't understand how the governor has the authority to change what people get paid.
Well, you know what? I'm sorry, actually, Angela, that's exactly what I called for earlier. Because to me, he doesn't take a salary and doesn't need one.
Right.
But the reality is that when people, you have got to hit people who are making decisions where it hurts, okay? If you're going to hold up, seriously, if you're going to hold up education in California, if you're going to hold up laws and getting things done.
But it's not the state workers who were doing that.
No, it's
the people in the government.
But you know what? Cut
their pay.
I agree with that. But also, here's my thing. It's just like, then we have to go stand outside some people's houses.
Okay. But with our clothes on, Francis.
Okay. All right, a thong, whatever.
We're gonna negotiate this. I'm not going to push you people through this, okay?
Let's talk to John in Buffalo. John, you are on the Stephanie Miller Show. Go ahead.
Hey, good morning, lady.
Good morning.
Hey, what we're talking about here is chump change.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
What we had an earlier caller that was on right on target, setting up a national bank.
Yes.
What we have is in September through November of last year, the Federal Reserve issued $2 trillion, with a T, dollars in loans without a peep from Congress.
Mm-hmm.
Now the problem is that Bernanke is not saying who got the money,
right,
nor what the terms are. That's
right.
$2 trillion, with a T, which is about 12,000 times more than what we've been arguing about with raises.
That's right.
So we absolutely need to address that problem, and the Federal Reserve is just a consortium of private banks. So we are giving, and they are charging us interest, by the way, on the $2 trillion that we borrowed.
Well, John, this is what I've been saying.
Okay, John, I didn't know that part.
Yeah, me either. But you know what, John, this is what I've been saying, and people have got to understand that we, the people who go out and earn a living on a day-to-day basis, we don't really matter.
No, we don't. We don't.
This
is just basically we have been being screwed over by corporate interest, banking interest for years.
That's right.
So real national bank is the way to go.
Thank you, John.
That's, I'm telling you that I can find her name. Who said it? National bank. I'll find it.
Yeah. Well, it was our friend. Yeah.
Yes. That was our friend.
That was our friend. You call back again. You talk about that national bank. Because we're gonna write the notes next time. Let's talk to Jane in Minneapolis. Jane.
We've got to get less desperate sounding.
I know. You're Stephanie Miller with Frangela, Jane.
Girls, I love you.
Oh, thank you.
I'm your Facebook friend, so everybody do that. Listen, Francis, I like your idea of getting naked and going into Washington.
Oh, no, Jane.
I think we should scare him because I have this bad C-section scar from when I had my kids.
I got one too, Jane.
There you go.
We'll stand next to each other.
You people are not helping me.
I will go with you and do this only if we target K Street.
That's
where we got to go.
Yes.
We got to stop this whole system of lobbyists because all these beautiful things that we've been talking about today will not change until we get rid of the lobbyists. Let's get it back to 300 lobbyists that truthfully told Congress about what their corporations or their unions needed before Reagan.
Yeah.
300 maximum.
Look at you. You know
put
what?
Put
thank
a cap
you, Jane.
On it. Put a cap on
thank
it.
You,
yes,
because,
thank you.
You know, a lot of these, what people often don't remember, we often don't realize, is that these, you know, former heads of the, you know, Treasury and all that, you know what they do when they leave those jobs?
Mm-hmm.
They go to work in the private sector.
That's right.
The industry that they were supposed to be regulating before.
That's right, that's
or
right.
Before, somebody like Condoleezza Rice, who, and all the, many people in the Bush administration, who were on the boards of oil companies.
Right, before they came into the government.
Before they came into the government. And I think that it's important, you know, there's a line of logic that suggests that they know about the industry, but then there's, you know, it depends on, it's like in the, under Bush, I believe the woman, who was in the interior, head of the interior, was somebody who had actually worked for a company that was trying to get rid of all of the national
right,
board, like, well,
right,
not all
right.
of them, but, you know, really had a horrible environmental record.
Mm-hmm.
And you have to look, I there was a time when public service was public service.
Right, not anymore.
Not a stepping stone to a higher paying private career.
Yeah.
And that's something to look at. I mean, maybe we should be, we should raise those wages.
Right.
Maybe we should be worried about keeping the talent in government.
Yes. Let's talk to Renee in North Carolina. Renee, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show with Frangela.
Yes. You know, Obama promises transparency. And the thing that would really help with that the most, he needs to start with his own profession, the legal profession.
Mm-hmm.
The way they mystify everything in their complicated language and thousands of pages of documents, no bill should be allowed to be put before a vote unless it can be understood by a class of eighth graders.
I love it.
It's just not fair because, you see, a lot of these people, these tricks with language, a lot of these people like Bernie Madoff had law degrees before they went to Wall Street, and they've brought their trickery, you know, with pig Latin language to finance. We have to simplify the language where ordinary people can understand it to loosen their grip from us of this whole problem. Now, there was once an honest lawyer in the 1930s named Fred Rodale.
Mm-hmm.
He was a Yale law professor for about 40 years, and he wrote something, and it's free online at constitution.org.
Okay.
Fred Rodale wrote something called Woe Unto Ye Lawyers, from the line from Luke in the Bible,
right.
And he called the law a racket. The thing is, as long as they're allowed to deceive us with words and then bring these same tricks to finance and Wall Street, we will never have honesty. We have to demystify it, remove this smoke screen.
That's right, Renee.
Or it will never get better. And I'm sorry, I think that would be a great thing for Michelle and Obama to do, since they are both lawyers.
Mm-hmm.
We need to stop this, because he did it too. They put these 1,000-page bills.
Poor man.
Renee, you're
franting. That's what
Renee,
we call when you're
franting.
when the rant catches you off guard. Like you make your comment, you're fine, then all of a sudden you're like, because the rant kicks in.
Yeah.
Because you don't even expect you to. Now, yeah. I grew up with lawyers. My parents are lawyers. So, I think that lawyer hate, I understand it. We all have it until we need one.
Right.
and then we're like, you know what?
It's kind of like
being mad at the police.
Until you need them. Yes.
You know?
That's what I always say about the police officers. I was like, you know, and even when I lived in the heart of the ghetto, I would say, you know, you couldn't pay me any amount of money to kick in a door of a crack house.
Oh, to deal with two people having a fight. Like,
right.
It's just ridiculous.
Yeah, or go into a situation where into harm's way. So I love you. If you're a police officer, I love you.
Things are good, you know. But I think Renee brings up the point of, you know, these things don't have to be ununderstandable. They don't have to be that difficult. The reality is that we're kept out of the loop, and we keep, this is what I'm telling you, I don't want to read Consumer Confidence anymore.
No.
I don't want to talk about subprime, talk about the bad people not living within their, I mean, I understand that stuff goes on, but I really do believe if you took a close look at this credit card debt that Americans are carrying, much of it is about just living.
And
it's because wages have not raised along with inflation. We know that from companies that we work in, that wages have stayed the same. The federal minimum wage is $6.55.
Yes.
$6.55.
You know what, Angela? That's my whole issue here. It's just like, stop blaming the American people, because at the end of the day, we did not create derivatives, and we did not create subprime or prime loans. We can't get a credit card unless somebody assigns it to us. The reality is that this is not our...
Hey, help me out with
this. Take this blame.
Help me out with this. When I screw up and don't pay a bill, my credit goes down. Not up.
No.
The people don't show more confidence in me and send me more money.
No.
I don't understand.
But you're going to send some more of your money to the banks who, in essence, won't give you a loan, won't release this credit. I mean, why, you know, I understand it. I know we're going to have to throw more money at this situation.
We've heard two calls so far for a federal bank, our own bank.
Our national bank.
A national bank.
The number here is 1-800-STEPH-1-2. We are Frangela filling in for Mama and the Mooks, and this is The Stephanie Miller Show.
My word, what a gorgeous way to wake up.
It's The Stephanie Miller Show.
Welcome back to the Stephanie Miller Show. Mama and the Mooks are on a much-deserved vacation this week, so we are filling in for them. We are Frangela, that means myself, Angela V. Shelton.
And our very best friend, Sexy Pants, Frances Callion.
That's right, and that has not been disputed.
No, it has not, and
ever.
You just can't.
You just can't. It's 24 minutes past the hour.
The number here is 1-800-STEPH-1-2, or for those of you who are numerically challenged like me.
And me.
And 1-800-783-7412.
It's Monday. March 23rd, we've been talking about Timothy Geithner's speech-ish
mm-hmm.
thingy moment this morning.
Yes.
Talking about the new PPIP.
Yes.
The Private Public Investment Program, something like that. And talking about TARP money and where is our money going.
Yes.
And public outrage, i.e. consumer confidence.
And the reality that many Americans are living off of their credit cards because we have to.
Right. And we're not talking about irresponsible spending.
No.
Necessarily. So, no. And we just got an email from somebody. She was waiting on the line and then her phone didn't work. Anita.
We wanted
to read Anita's comments. Anita D. She said, you know, my stupid phone just failed.
Yes.
But I can't believe it. She's calling because her husband got fired Thursday.
Yes.
Meanwhile, at the same moment, an article came out 2 days earlier that had said the top execs at his company gave themselves $12.4 million in raises.
Right.
And she goes on to say, we were right about the timing. He was supposed to get a $10,000 bonus on May 1st, but now they've harvested his accounts.
Yes.
AIG is everywhere. And then I wanted to, I guess, what is she saying here? She wanted to pitch?
Pitch us for a project. But then, you know, that's something else.
Yes. But, it's really amazing to me that you do have to look at the big picture. And I think we had an earlier caller who said, if you want to know how the banks feel about the economy, look at what they're actually doing.
That's right. Because I'm going to tell you
Not what they're saying.
Because the reality is that they know the truth. And that's
mm-hmm.
and when we were talking about, you know, the toxic assets and what have you, the reality is that, you know, you're looking at all of that and they know what they've done.
Oh, yeah. They called them. Remember we did that story that
mm-hmm.
they actually, the name for these assets, they called them in the banking industry. They had some awful name for them, like, it was something really ridiculous, like failed assets or something.
Yes.
But they knew exactly what they were dealing with.
Exactly. Really quickly, let's talk to Adam in Miami. Adam, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show with Frangela.
Hello, ladies.
Hello. Hey. Thanks for waiting.
A couple things real quick. You know, I'm all for Tim Geithner's plan, even though I'm not that familiar with it, just what I've read about it.
Mm-hmm.
But it's been my experience in Florida. We've had a lot of public-private partnerships.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And they always fail because you want to talk about lack of accountability.
It's just too
easy to put on that private hat, you know, when you talk about accountability, and it's too easy to put on the public hat when you want to
get the money,
the coffers.
Yep.
So I'm hoping that they, you know, redefine that. But one of the things what I really called about was talking about people living beyond their means. You know, when we grew up, mm-hmm. our parents didn't worry about they didn't carry a lot of credit cards. They didn't worry
mm-hmm.
about insurance payments. When you got out of school in the 60s or the 70s, you know, the boomers, they could live. They could rent an apartment. They could have a car. They could go on a date. When I got out of school, I got bombarded with credit cards.
Yeah.
They just couldn't give them to me fast enough.
Yeah.
Right.
And then the other thing is that people don't realize how intertwined all of these stimulus ideas are.
Yeah.
You know, if you have three kids,
yeah,
and you can't, and you don't live in a district where there's a decent public school.
Yeah, you're right.
People went to public school.
Thank you, Adam.
You're absolutely. That's exactly what I. Thank you for bringing that up.
That's exactly what I was saying. The number here is 1-800-STEPH-1-2, and we'll be back.
Stephanie Miller.
You are a brainwashed far-left loon who'll use any excuse to disparage those with whom you disagree.
Good morning and welcome back to the Stephanie Miller Show. Stephanie and the Mooks, Chris Lavoie and Jim Ward are all on vacation this week, so we're filling in for them. We are Frangela, that means myself, Angela V. Shelton.
And our very best friends, Frances, friend, Frances Sexy Pants Callia.
You have just multiplied.
I have.
Just like that. We like to think of ourselves as America's BFFs.
Yay!
Your besties. We're your best friends. It's 33 minutes past the hour.
The number here is 1-800-STEPH-1-2.
And it is Monday, March 23rd, and we've been talking about the economy and the minimum wage and a whole bunch of stuff.
Yes.
So we want to make sure we get to your calls.
We do, we do. Let's talk to John and Charlotte. John, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show with Frangela.
Hey, good morning, lady.
Good morning.
How are you all doing?
Good, how are you?
I had 3 points for you real quick.
Okay.
One thought was on the minimum wage deal, I don't understand why, and this is coming from a conservative, why they just don't turn around and tie that to CPI, Consumer Price Index.
Mm-hmm.
That way it raises every year. Because I always do this barometer for minimum wage. When I was 18 in high school, you know, minimum wage was probably $3.35. A quarter pounder with cheese meal was probably real close to bucks. Now,
right, yeah.
I'm 38. You know, you go to get the number two meal, it's $6-$7. Minimum wage is $6-$7.
Right.
I mean, it never seems that minimum wage gets you any further. It's, you know, therefore minimum.
Exactly.
Right.
I just don't understand why no one does that rather than doing that every 7 years or 8 years.
And then they have to fight over it. Yeah. And then they fight over it and it ends up being some pittance.
Yes.
Yeah.
You know.
I cannot understand that. Second thing, too, is I'm going to bring up is you guys were talking about the Arnold Schwarzenegger and that got kicked out.
Mm-hmm.
You have to be careful with that because, to me, that's kind of the same thing for the AIG, where a government entity is coming in afterwards and saying, hey, we're going to renegotiate your contract based on something we all agreed on before. Whether it makes sense or not, you can't do that.
Retroactively.
You can't do it. And I'm not a big fan of the AIG things. I just think, hey, I hate to see the government or any group come in and just pinpoint somebody and say, we're gonna play with you.
Right. Yeah. Well, you know, Obama said that last night, but go ahead and make your next point.
And the third and final point is, I cannot understand, ladies, for the life of me, and I followed all this train wreck of a financial mess, why nobody has brought up the rating agencies, the Moody's, and Standard & Poor's. We wouldn't have a train wreck had they had been rated right. If
the AAA
would have been seen as junk, then it would have went out there and there would have been no buyers for it.
Thank you, John.
I have no problems with the derivatives. I have no problem with any of that stuff. But if you don't know what you're buying, why go kill the people who are trading it? That doesn't make any sense.
You know what, John? Thank you so much for calling. Because we've talked about this on our own show at KTLK.
Yes.
That the what's been discovered, and two things. One is that the SEC, the organization supposed to be watching out for a lot of these things, that, you know, in their most recent report, or maybe not most recent, but the last one I read, which was this year, showed that they found that a lot of SEC employees were running their private businesses while at work and on adult sites rather than monitoring people like Bernie Madoff. So there's that. Then what you're talking about with John was just talking about with the rating system. We read a few months ago, I want to say, of several articles about how these agencies that rate the assets, they give them the AAA or whatever.
Right.
They say these are good assets to get. These are, you know, this is sturdy stock here. They actually, their profits have gone up astronomically in the last several years. Coincidentally, I'm sure, they haven't been finding as many faults. They haven't had as many low ratings. And I think that what you're bringing up is an excellent point about how the agencies that are supposed to be telling us about that, I got to find the name of what they called these assets, because they literally called them, we don't know what they are, assets or something, because nobody actually even has the paperwork.
Right. And that's what they were saying when they kept talking about doing the stress. Have you noticed that this language about stress testing the banks went away because they can't because they don't even know where these assets are or what they're called or how they were absorbed within the corporation. That's the thing. They can't even put a name to them. Okay.
Hey, I'm gonna find that because it's a funny name. You'll be mad when you hear it. You'll be frantic.
Let's talk to Kevin in Springfield. Kevin, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show with Frangela.
Yes. Hello.
Hi.
I love you, ladies.
Hi.
Hey, we don't need to get a national bank because we already have banks that we can own for less than $50 in some cases. They're called credit unions.
Credit unions.
Well,
in your local community. So everyone just take your money out of the national change, put your money in the credit unions, they'll finally be able to give loans they won't have to sell off as soon as they make them, and they'll actually own the bank. I get invited to my credit union's meeting every year, and we make decisions about how the bank is run.
Thank you very much for bringing that up.
Thank you so much.
You know, one thing she just brought off is, you know, the selling off of your loan. I'm sure we've had lots of people call in and tell us about this, that they have their mortgage with one company, and then you get this notice that your mortgage, your marker, been bought. Kind of like it when you owe the mob money.
I'm telling you.
And they hand it to some other level, some other family. Your marker gets bought.
So you
suddenly end up owing a company money that you had. That actually, the story, the one I remember, is this woman called in and said she'd been turned down for a mortgage by, I want to say, what's the, WAMU. WAMU, I believe, had turned her down for a mortgage. And then, so she got a mortgage through somebody else. And then WAMU bought her mortgage.
Yeah.
What sense does that make?
And you know what, Angela? I have to say this, too. We owe certain aspects of organized crime
an apology.
We really do. I'm going to tell you something.
I think this is going to be hard to gain some traction on, but
go, girl. You understand what I'm saying.
I think I know where you're leaning.
It's the fact that, you know, when people gave people juice loans in the past, and they bought your markers and on the street, and they sold your paper.
Right, right.
But you know what? We prosecuted those people. But when we turned it into a white collar, it's still criminal activity. But the people who did it in the white-collar way are getting away with it.
Yeah.
They're not going to go to jail for it. They're not being prosecuted for it. This is the same type of thing that we have gone after organized criminals for years. And this was huge in the 70s.
Yeah, buying your
In the 60s, in the 50s. But yet, and still, we prosecuted people doing it on the street. But when you put up a sign that says, payday loan, okay, or whatever, it's okay. It's seriously?
Interesting.
Seriously.
Don't get us hurt.
I know. I'm speaking up for organized crime people. That's all.
I think that's okay. We're just going to, it's a theory. It's a theoretical argument, people.
But you know what I'm saying.
Exactly.
You know what I'm saying.
No, I know exactly what you're saying.
Let's talk to Anita in Santa Barbara. Anita, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show with Frangela.
Hello, Anita.
Hello, Frangela.
Hey!
Oh, my gosh, I can't believe I made it on.
Yay. Thanks for waiting.
Thank you for waiting.
You know, I love Macs. I'm a Mac zealot, but this iPhone with the failing call fails, it's killing me.
Oh, I hope you heard us. Was that your email that we just read from?
Yeah, that was me.
Hi. Hi.
And can I just say, like, I just love when you get all raw like that. Is it sissy pants? Or you're too much. You know, we keep our radio in the bed on Fridays so that we can turn it on even when we're asleep, because we don't want to miss Fridays with Frangela. We've missed it a few times.
Oh,
so.
thank you.
And we love Stephanie, but I don't know. It's like you guys make us laugh even like when we're like starting to wake up. We can do a little laugh out loud.
Well, thank you. And I'm sorry that your husband lost his job.
Yeah.
It's all right. You know, onwards and upwards. I think that, you know, one of the things that we have to really try to remember, and I'm not trying to be all, you know, Santa Barbara, New Age, but, you know, there's a lot of stuff that we need to be thinking about out there to get creative, and that's what we've done, and just in a few days, you know, there's a few opportunities that are lined up, and I think that one of the most important things that people need to remember right now isn't just like, oh, pull yourself up from your bootstrap kind of, you know, that kind of ridiculousness, but instead just like, you know, looking at the fact that nothing that we were doing in this economy was sustainable. I mean, it still isn't, but it's just like, you know, everything that has gotten us to this point, you know, it had to come at some point, and it's on our backs, and it's on my brother's back and on my sister's back and everybody that's losing everything. But I know that we have an opportunity here to, like, you know, just kind of get a little more creative about what we want to see come out of this. And, you know, my friend's a regulator on Wall Street, and he's telling me things are not getting any better anytime sooner. And I believe him, because everything he said for the last 2 years has come true. And, you know, they weren't listening to the regulators, and that's why we're here. And so
I hear what you're saying.
Like, yeah.
You know, yeah, I think you're right, Anita.
Thank
it's
you,
really
Anita.
It's important.
Yeah, I absolutely. That, you know, it's just, I don't, what I do get upset about is the fact that we have to get more creative, but They don't.
Well, you know what?
You know what I mean? Like GM and Ford didn't, you know, neither does, you know, Merrill Lynch. None of these, they don't have to. But we have to.
We have to regulate. They're forcing us to regulate. And you know what? They don't want me out there regulating because I'm going to be regulating naked, okay?
Oh, does it have to be naked?
Yes, it does.
I really don't understand why you have to be naked for this.
The number.
And you know what? You people keep calling and agreeing and you are not helping.
Yes. Write to us. Call us. The number here is 1-800-STEPH-12. We are Frangela filling in for Mama and the Mooks, and this is the Stephanie Miller Show.
May cause dizziness, sexual nightmares, and sleep crime.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show.
And welcome back to the Stephanie Miller Show. Stephanie Miller and the Mooks are on a much-deserved vacation this week, so we are honored to be filling in for them. We are Frangela. That means myself, Angela V. Shelton.
And our very best friend, Frances Sexy Pants Gallier.
Founder of the Naked Protest.
Yes.
That has yet to happen. And I am trying desperately to prevent. It is 48 minutes past the hour.
Yeah, so the number here is 1-800-STEPH-12 or 1-800-783-7412. If we don't get to your calls today, please call back tomorrow or write us at frangela.com.
Please do. We do answer our emails. We're a little bit behind because of recent weeks, but we will read it even if you don't get an answer today. So please, frangela.com. That's Frangela.
You can follow us at Twitter at frangela1. That's the number one.
That's right.
You can become
Facebook.
Yeah, you can become our friend at MySpace at the Real Frangela, and at Facebook at Frangela Duo.
So please do. But we want to get to a few more calls at least before we move into Idiot of the Week.
Week.
It's a segment we do on our show on KTLK.
Yes.
But we'll get to that, but we want to make sure we get to a few calls.
Yes. Let's talk to Rob in Seattle really quick. Rob, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Hey, good morning.
Good morning.
I wanted to call in. I do believe that Mama would definitely vote for Nicole to be the smartest person in the class.
Yes.
We don't have a sound machine.
She touched down on a point that was really significant
that
led into what somebody else said about lobbying.
Yeah.
We need to know about the history of corporations in America.
Mm-hmm.
When they started, the first ones were used to build bridges in New York.
Yes.
They had a lifespan, and they could not own property. So they served a specific financial purpose. You got the money together to do, like in this case, build a bridge.
Right.
And when the bridge was done, the corporation was liquidated, and they did not have personhood.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
As it's grown over our history, corporations have been used to lobby our Congress like people, but they never die.
They just multiply, Rob.
You know, Rob, I couldn't agree with you more. I am so sick of this concept that a corporation has the right to make profits.
That's right.
No, that's something that you're supposed to work at and try to get, but you don't have the right at everybody else's expense.
Yeah. No, you don't. But you know what? They're taking those rights. And again, we are just being pushed out. Let's talk to Kizzy in Chicago. Kizzy, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show with Frangela.
Hello, ladies.
Hi. Good morning.
Great to talk to you. I was calling because that guy from Chicago called earlier and was talking about quick fixes and, you know, just everybody, the automotive industry, the government, the banks, are all freaking out because they're losing consumers, they're losing business, they're losing money. So they're coming up with these quick fixes that actually are taking away all of our money, and then we drop out of being consumers, you know.
Yes.
And I'm 21 years old. I'm about to graduate college. What the heck am I supposed to do? I can't get a loan to go to grad school. I can't get a job because there are none. So what's my generation going to do with all these quick fixes that are actually digging us a bigger hole?
Right. Yeah, Kizzy, first of all, I'm sorry.
We're sorry. Kizzy, we're sorry we're taking away your future.
We're going to try not to.
You know what? And I love me some Obama. I proudly voted for him. But
yes.
I think everyone needs to just take a deep breath,
do some yoga,
and come up with a long-term solution.
Thank you. And I think, you know, one of our – Anita was talking about the inevitability of some of these – why are we here? Why are we in this place where a 21-year-old is not excited
about getting out of college? Yeah.
Because that you're supposed to be excited.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you're like, "Whoa, my life is starting, not my debt is starting.
Yeah.
Not my I got to move back home." And one of those that's one we were talking about a few weeks ago, there was a a new statistic, a new study out about how many people are having less kids. Mm-hmm. And one of the things that we talked about is I actually think that there are more kids living at home, though.
Oh, absolutely.
Or former kids, if you will. We call them adults.
Right.
But that a lot of us, you know, there's a lot of hidden poverty and there are a lot of hidden casualties
absolutely.
In this current economic situation.
Absolutely. You know, my husband and I, Angela, and we talk about it all the time. My husband and I would like to have another child. I don't think that we can afford it.
No, you can't. I can tell you that right now. You can't.
No, we can't.
Nope.
It's true.
You cannot.
True. We would like to expand our family, but we can't. Do we have time for one more call, or should we just go?
Let's do another call.
Okay, let's talk
to... people have been waiting. I so love it.
Yes, let's talk to Dejuan in Detroit. I hope I said that right.
No, you ain't saying it right. It's Dejuan.
It's Dejuan.
Thank you.
All right, man, listen. You're right about all that, because I'm living with my dang old in-law. I'm an engineer graduate from Michigan State.
Wow.
My thing is that I'm rooting for the Spartans all the way. But... I've never heard accounting being a six-figure job. When I went to college, accounting, they had a whole list. Engineers, like $50,000.
Right.
Accounting in the business area, that was like $20,000-$30,000 a year job.
Yeah.
All of a sudden, you hear these Wall Street people making all this money. And this is what I really want to say about derivatives. Because I'm an engineer, when you take a derivative, for instance, the derivative of A squared is 2A. Mm-hmm. So if you replace 4 with that A, in the original equation, you have more of the output. It'll be 16 versus 2A, which is 8.
Right.
So what I think these Wall Street people are doing, they're selling this whole derivative concept.
Right.
But then, in the end, they're taking all the money off top. And the rest of the money is in that imaginary space that we just find out that's out there, all these trillions of dollars.
Yeah. That's right. It's theoretical.
Theoretical imaginary numbers,
Thank
if you will.
Thank you, Dejuan.
Thank you, Dejuan. Excellent. Yeah, accounting.
Yes.
You don't think there might be a connection.
Yeah.
And tomorrow, we'll talk more about this and about the plan. And tomorrow, Geithner has another good day.
Yes.
He'll be in front of Barney Frank's committee.
That's right.
So, talking about AIG in particular. But before we get done with today, we would be remiss if we did not do... Idiot of the Week.
Week.
It's a segment where Francis and I, we call the news and we take input from all of you, our listeners, and we want to thank you for sending idiots to Frangela.com and to joining the Army of the Anti-Dumb, where we give the truly stupid, the truly uninspired their time.
The day in the sun. Let's do it. Okay. How to lose your job in 140 characters or less. Some idiot apparently put a post on Twitter, not understanding that everything that you put on the internet is 1,000% public, okay?
So this guy in this market was able to get a job, right?
Yes.
He gets a job. What does he do?
He posts his... This is his post.
Gets a job at Cisco, then immediately Twitters.
Yes. Cisco just offered me a job. Now I have to weigh the utility of a fatty paycheck against the daily commute to San Jose and hating the work.
So then the person who hired him Twittered back... This person who is the hiring manager, I'm sure they would love to know that you will hate the work. We here at Cisco are versed in the web.
You're an idiot.
People,
yes.
I don't know how many times Francis and I have to say this. When you put something online, it's online.
Yeah, people are going to see it. That's right.
Don't Twitter.
Don't put your dirty, naked
especially
post,
not,
pictures.
People can't get a job.
No. You're stupid. Okay.
Next up.
Man arrested while registering stolen car. Anthony Cooper was 20, trying to register a car that was stolen.
Yep.
Yeah. And guess what? He got arrested and booked on suspicion.
Because that's what happens when you do that with a car that is stolen.
Yeah.
And I guess this happens quite often.
Yes.
And it sounds like maybe he, in fact, was the one who stole it.
Yeah.
Next up, we have train thief.
Mm-hmm.
Takes 120-ton joyride.
Yes.
A railroad crew came out to crank up their locomotive and found it wasn't there.
Which, excuse me, Angela, really quickly, shouldn't you hear the train pulling off from the station?
Well, they aren't there 24 hours a day or anything.
Somebody should be able to be like, you know what, I hear...
I'm going to go you one better. Trains are on tracks.
Yes.
So you walk in either direction, eventually you'll hit the train.
That's right.
So they call 911.
Which I didn't know that.
We can't find our train. I'm sure 911 was thrilled to get that call. Because they're like, you know what, we've got more important... Just walk down the track.
Yeah.
You know? And what they found, they did some fingerprinting, and they found out that a man had indeed taken the train on a joyride.
On a joyride.
You can't take a train on a joyride, people.
What about a Monte Carlo? Or
Did anybody have a Segway in the neighborhood? And finally, man loses tooth as bowlers brawl over etiquette. This is in Rockland, California.
Yep.
Police say a dispute over bowling etiquette.
Yes.
Led to an assault.
Yeah, a 24-year-old man hit a man in the face by throwing a 16-pound bowling ball during a melee involving six bowlers, okay? Because both of them approached the line at the same time.
Which is a no-no if you're not a bowler like Frangela.
Right.
It's a no-no.
It is a no-no,
but
okay?
I'm going to say that hitting people in the face with a bowling ball is a bigger no-no.
Yes, a 16-pound
So we don't have a lot of time to vote here.
What you got?
What? I'm going to have to go with
what?
I'm gonna go with the losing your job. I have to go with the guy who twitters that he doesn't want the job and he doesn't want the job anyway and it's bad work.
I think that's super stupid.
That's so you know that nobody's working.
Yeah.
That everybody in there is twittering and Facebooking all day long.
But what do?
You Twitter away
it,
your job.
You put it right up on there.
Because you know what, Francis? There was a time in this country.
Girl, there was a time in this country.
There was a time in this country when we bailed out the people in the sinking ship, not the ones in the new yacht.
That's right, girl. There was a time in this country when toxic meant skull and crossbones and not the banking industry.
Okay, that meant stay away. No.
Yes, I'm Francis Callion.
And I'm Angela V. Shelton.
And thank you for listening for the Stephanie Miller Show.